Yeah.
That's right.
With this crew.
I know.
That's right.
Okay. Now, please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. The victim in the sexual assault video appears to be about 4 or 5 years old.
The only thing we had was her picture, and we made that heart-wrenching decision, and it was a decision that actually we talked about for a while. But we had to find a way of rescuing her.
Nyack County, Nevada, Sheriff Tony DeMeo releasing photos of the girl from the explicit video. Is that appropriate? Michelle Collins, Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
Law enforcement typically will use the media for child sexual exploitation cases as a very last resort.
Authorities do say they're looking at a person of interest, a registered sex offender, Chester Arthur Stiles. Children's health insurance program, very popular, offers coverage for low-income kids. Congress voting to expand it, the president not likely to sign it.
The president has been very clear for months that if the bill came to him in its current form, that he would veto it. That is his intention.
That's White House spokeswoman Dana Perino. CBS's Bob Fuss says a veto would be unpopular with both parties.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she's an optimist and still hopes President Bush will change his mind and sign the children's health insurance bill. He is certainly under pressure to do so from its many Republican supporters who fear they'll pay the political price if this popular program is not extended.
Report from the government raises questions about clinical trials of new drugs, the safety of those trials, questioned by Dr. Arthur Kaplan, chair of the Medical Ethics Department, University of Pennsylvania.
It's very difficult to monitor this gigantic system. We have literally millions of experiments going on out there. However, we have to do better than we're doing now.
Changes are coming to the airport bathroom where Senator Larry Craig was arrested. New stall dividers.
These will go almost all the way to the floor in a way of trying to prevent people from being able to move between stalls or put parts of their bodies from one stall to the other.
Minneapolis Airport spokesman Pat Hogan there. You ever wonder what it's like in prison, but you don't want to do the crime or the time? CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson may have your answer.
The idea for the prison museum in Lansing, Kansas, is basically they will build a fake prison with fake guard towers and give you the real feeling that you're inside a prison so you can have that prison experience. It's clearly a very local project intended to help pump up the local economy. And a lot of people think this is a project that should be funded with private and local funds because it's benefiting that specific community.
Which makes some wonder why Congress is earmarking $100,000 for the virtual prison experience. This year's nominations of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame are out. John Mellencamp ought to be a shoo-in, huh? Stretching the boundaries of the definition of the genre. And Madonna will probably get in. Not so sure about Leonard Cohen or Donna Summer or the Dave Clark Five. I got the hippie shades. Other nominees, the Beastie Boys, Chic, and The Ventures. Inductions in March. Dow loses 17 points today, ending at 13,895. This is CBS News.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I've got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
If you could change the world, what would you do? How would you use your power? What human needs would you remedy? And while you may wonder about your ability to change the world, you certainly can change your world. The people of Citgo demonstrate this every day. For example, we've contributed over $82 million to the Muscular Dystrophy Association. And we give in other ways to our local communities all across this country, which actually does change the world. Citgo, there at every turn.
And now, from our Department of Everything You Wanted to Know About Cockroaches... CBS's Sam Litzinger.
You ever feel it's just impossible to get going some mornings? Researchers have found it's not just us humans who are slow in the mornings. Cockroaches don't like them either. Researchers at Vanderbilt University have found dramatic variations in a roach's ability to learn. They were fine with their lessons in the evening. They were being trained to overcome their aversion to peppermint in exchange for yummy sugar water. But in the morning, they just didn't do well. They couldn't seem to get it together. One expert says it's the first example of an insect whose ability to learn is controlled by its biological clock. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
The billboard in Southern California says, life is short. Have an affair.
AshleyMadison.com is an interactive website for men and women already involved in relationships.
Who are looking for something more.
Demonstrators say the billboard encourages infidelity. AshleyMadison.com says it's simply providing a service, kind of like a liaison for a liaison. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Pump four is on. Go ahead and fill.
Don't get conservative on your summer travel plans because of high gas prices. Just get a Garmin and make every trip more efficient. Garmin's portable navigators put a world of maps and travel info at your fingertips. Tap the screen to look up restaurants, hotels, and attractions, and get voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on Broadway.
Some Garmin navigators even list gas prices and can route you to the station with the cheapest fill-up. Garmin, don't just get there. Arrive.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda-certified used car. They're well-maintained, late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty from the original in-service date, and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. And now get low APR financing on all Odyssey, Pilot, and S2000 certified used Honda models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda. Problem solved.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
How about a little uplift? How about a little inspiration? How about a little hope? In the face of the new dark ages and frustration, calamity, bad politics in the air. That's what we're shooting for on the Peter B. Collins Show today. Our first guest will join us in a moment, Frances Moore LePay, who you recall from Diet for a Small Planet. She's got a new book out called Getting a Grip. And there's some hope and inspiration in there. Also this hour, Jeffrey Feldman returns to our program. He talks about rhetoric and framing. He operates the website Frame Shop is Open. We're going to get his reaction to the Democratic debate and also the way Democratic leaders continue to use Republican language to talk about the occupation of Iraq. Then a little hope that the police state we fear may unravel, and we can thank federal courts and some activist lawyers. One of them will join us. John Eisenberg represents some folks who claim they can prove that they were spied on without a warrant by the National Security Agency. And that could get us past the catch-22 the Bush administration has been using to just push back any kind of lawsuits addressing what is euphemistically called warrantless wiretapping. And until August, it was flatly illegal wiretapping and surveillance. John Eisenberg at the top of the hour, next hour. Then we're going to talk about my ideas of the right answer that Obama, Edwards, and Clinton should have given at the Dartmouth debate the other night about the exit from Iraq. We're going to talk about the hopeful override of a threatened presidential veto on an insurance program for children. Now, you just think about this. Insurance for children, and Bush is willing to be the evildoer who will reject that with his veto pen. He has suddenly become very concerned about fiscal responsibility. And this very week, the Congress had to raise the debt limit to $10 trillion, as this administration demands from the Congress at least another $200 billion for the war and occupation. It is astounding. Brad Friedman is off today. We will explain why at the very end of the program. He will join us. And in his stead, Mark Crispin Miller, who teaches at New York University and published the book called Fooled Again, all about stolen elections. He'll be joining us to sit in for Brad. We'll talk about the Holt bill. We'll talk about a number of election integrity issues. It's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can join the conversation at any moment. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. In numbers, that is 888-573-8372. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com, and you're welcome to drop me a note during the program or whenever you hear it. Some of these, some stations play the show
all over the clock. And whenever you happen to be hearing our program, feel free to respond and let me know the things you like, the things you don't, and ideas for topics and guests you'd like to hear on this program. That's Peter at peterbcollins.com. Frances Moore LePay joins us this half hour. Her new book is called Getting a Grip, Clarity, Creativity, and Courage in a World Gone Mad. Frances Moore LePay, known as Frankie to friends and admirers. Welcome back to our program, Frankie.
Thank you, Peter. I'm just intrigued. I want to stay and listen to the show.
Well, we stream online for those of you in
Cambridge. I want to just turn on, yeah.
In Cambridge, Massachusetts, you can log on to peterbcollins.com, and it will reach you.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Well, I'm especially encouraged by these challenges to the Patriot Act and the illegal surveillance of Americans. It's going to take a long time to undo the damage, but we've got to start somewhere. And your book really offers a roadmap for things of this sort, for citizen empowerment, for people not to sit back and give up and say that, oh, you know, the rich are running everything and the Republicans have run amok and ruined our country. Certainly, as I just said, a lot of damage has been done, but you offer a real vision to move forward, and it kind of moves beyond borders and cultures and other barriers that we have imposed. And you start off with the point that what is really restricting us in so many ideas, in so many ways, is human ideas, the way we think.
Exactly. It's something that's taken me a long time to get a grip on, that, in fact, it's the ideas we hold about reality that are trapping us. And what I mean by that, in particular, at this moment, in this critical moment in the history of our species, is that our idea about democracy, which, of course, is now the world's celebrated problem-solving device, is really dangerously flawed. And what I mean by that is that our current, what I grew up with, what I accepted, and what I inherited, notion of democracy so concentrates power inevitably, inexorably, that it actually defeats democracy.
Now, how can you say that? George W. Bush has exported democracy at the tip of depleted uranium weapons.
Exactly.
As your son Anthony, and I want to give him credit, Anthony LePay at GNN.TV, that's the Guerrilla News Network, was one of the first to come on this program and talk to us about the incredible long-term damage to the landscape and the people in Iraq from our use of DU weapons.
And it's amazing how that has not been followed up on. I have to say, as a mother of Anthony, one of the scariest images was in his film, Battleground, which I highly recommend, and anybody can get now. That picture of him with the Geiger counter registering the depleted uranium, but that kids, that people in Iraq are being exposed to, that our soldiers are being exposed to, and that issue has just never come into the public debate.
That Geiger counter showed levels of 900% of what's tolerable by humans, and the picture showed kids playing in the landscape of destruction there of U.S. tanks and vehicles that are tainted with this DU.
Yes, yes. So, but Peter, what you know from having seen my book, Getting a Grip, is that I see this as a symptom. And unless we see it as a symptom of the fundamental flaw of our understanding of democracy, then we're never going to get out of this mess. So when I say getting a grip, what I really mean is getting a grip on the root causes, so that we're not just grasping at straws or, you know, keep the metaphor clean, you know, grasping at leaves in the trees. We're really down there at the root. And I'm saying the root has to do with power and our understanding of how it operates and what really rethinking power so that we can see our power that we're currently blind to. But what I'm really getting at as I open the book is that we settle for what I call thin democracy, this notion that all we need are elections and a market economy, a peculiar idea of a market economy, you know, highest return to existing wealth is the way we define it as the only way that a market can work. And so what happens then with that understanding of democracy is that it ends up concentrating power so that fewer and fewer people control more and more of the wealth, and then that infects and pollutes our political system so that today there are 61 lobbyists in Congress for every person that you and I elect to represent us there. So we've reached this point. If I can just throw out one framing quote here from one of my heroes, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He said in April of 1938, he said, "The liberty of democracy is not safe if we tolerate the growth of private power to the point that it is stronger than the democratic state itself. That, in its essence, is fascism." He said the F word.
Mm-hmm. Well, people need to hear it. We the operations in recent years meet the definition of fascism in way too many elements, and it's something that we need to be realistic about. Now, Frances Moore LePay is our guest. We're talking about her new book, Get a Grip. There's a great website up at gettingagrip.net, gettingagrip.net. And whether you can, you know, log on there while you're listening or after the fact, there's a lot of great information there, including the book Overleafs, the cover jacket, which has two very interesting flow charts, I would call them. Mm-hmm. One is called The Spiral of Powerlessness, and the other is The Spiral of Empowerment. Now, we cannot, unfortunately, show these on the radio. I would if I could. But let's start off before this break describing the spiral of powerlessness, and then we'll come back and talk about empowerment. What is powerlessness, in your view, and how does human behavior often compound it and cause it to spiral?
Well, thank you, because this is core, yes. This spiral really frames the book, and it starts with the premise of lack. There's not enough. There's not enough goods out there, you know, from food to jobs to parking places, right? There's just not enough. So we're scrambling, and there's not enough goodness in us. So there's premise of lack, that we don't have what it takes, that if you really pull away the fluff from human beings, that underneath, you know, we're just these narrow little self-interested materialists out there to elbow somebody else out in the mall. So we start with that premise, and therefore we come to believe that we have to turn over our fate to some magical law. I mean, Ronald Reagan called it the magic of the market. John D. Rockefeller called it the law of nature and of God, this idea that there's some infallible law out there that we turn over our fate to. And as I mentioned, that what we've concluded is that it has to be run by one rule, highest return to existing wealth, which then ends up concentrating wealth so tightly that we have the top 1% of households in America that control more wealth than the bottom 95% of households. And then we allow that concentrated wealth to permeate our political system and distort it. And that then creates the problems and creates the crisis that then confirms our belief that we're really so, you know, messed up and so just these narrow materialists, and then the spiral deepens because the crises, the problems deepen. Because this definition, this spiral that I'm describing, it excludes the real problem solvers, which are the people who are directly affected by whatever it is, whether it's failing schools or the environmental crisis or whatever it is. And so this spiral really locks us out of our role as engaged citizens where the solutions are found.
Indeed, and as you're describing this, Frances Moore LePay, I'm just thinking of a recent conversation I had with a cousin of mine who's a conservative nut, and he was arguing that Hurricane Katrina and the people who were trapped there at the Superdome was an example of over-dependence on government and the welfare state. And, you know, he's bought into this,
yes,
that, you know, we're powerless and that, you know, we should all be survivalists who eschew any kind of involvement in government because that would demean our independence and our own ability to survive. And it's counterintuitive to any kind of approach where we take responsibility for one another.
Exactly. And, I mean, the propaganda campaign, as you know, since the 1970s, have been so intense that, you know, government is the enemy. Well, government is the vehicle in a democracy through which we address the problems that affect all of us. And if we're denied that, then we don't have a democracy.
We've got to take a break, and we'll return with Frankie. Frances Moore LePay. The new book is called Getting a Grip. A lot of inspiration, but not pie in the sky. This is really valuable, practical advice on taking back our country, taking back our world. We'll continue in a moment. If you'd like to talk with her, we've got another segment with Frankie. Or you can call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Be sure to try the chow fun noodles with broccoli and hot and sour soup. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's Restaurant in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. That's 394-5117. Jim's is top for takeout and great for catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside, 394-5117.
11 a.m. Saturdays.
All you need is love.
The Quantum Leap.
All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need.
On KRXA 540.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Ray of frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, a conversation with Francis Moore LePay, a brand new book called Getting a Grip, Clarity, Creativity, and Courage in a World Gone Mad. If you go to the website at gettingagrip.net, there's a link there to pick up the book for just a little over $10. It's in a first edition paper cover.
It all.
little uplift there from Kate Bush and Peter Gabriel. I'm Peter B. Collins with Frankie Francis Moore LePay. Now let's turn to the Overleaf, the back jacket cover, and these beautiful graphics are available at the website, too, at gettingagrip.net. You talk about the spiral of empowerment. Now describe that in contrast to the spiral of powerlessness.
Well, it starts with a very opposite premise, and that is that there is enough, there's plenty of goods, there's plenty of goodness. And this, as you said, is not pie in the sky. That actually, I love that even neuroscience is now confirming that what we experience every day is real. For example, that human beings enjoy cooperation. They've actually done MRI, you know, when they're looking at people's brains, and they discover that when we are cooperating as opposed to competing, that parts of our brains light up that are the same parts that light up when we eat chocolate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that empathy and that a sense of fairness and that our need for efficacy, for power, I mean, these are hardwired, and it makes perfect evolutionary sense that they are hardwired. So we can tap the best in us instead of the worst in us. That is the argument here, that we know now what brings out the best in us. And so from that premise of plenty of this goodness in human nature, dropping the notion of whether we are good overall, but just what are the features, the aspects that are constructive, then we realize, yes, we do have it in us to come together in genuine democracy and to participate and to arrive at that which is best for the overall community. And from that, then, we can set values boundaries about how the market works and make sure that the government is serving us and not narrow private interest. And then we start to solve our problems, and it reinforces it's the virtuous circle, because it reinforces this notion that we have what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I mean by the spiral of empowerment, that does really require that we redefine power as not just some bad thing out there that George Bush has, but as something that we each have in our being to actually have a voice and to be creative in this world.
Frankie, you take on a lot of the challenges that we face in the modern world, and in the U.S. today there is this incredible layer of fear, and the Bush administration has promoted it, capitalized on it, manipulated it on repeated occasions, and the net result is that Americans are spooked. And you talk, you have seven different ways to rethink fear. Pick your favorite, please.
Well, the basic idea that I had to learn the hard way as I got up close and personal with fear a few years ago, and I realized that through a great encounter with an African, this is a whole other story, but absolutely profoundly changed my life, that fear is just energy. Fear is pure energy, and we can do with it what we want. We're evolved, yes, to have these body sensations, the pounding heart in my case, or the dry mouth, when we feel threatened or when we fear that we're going to be out of step with the tribe, right? Because we're hardwired as social creatures to fear being cast out. But we also can recognize that we can work with that. We can see it as energy. In other words, when we feel ourselves, those body sensations of feeling out of step, that somebody might attack us, we can say, wait a minute, those sensations might be that I'm doing exactly what I need to be, not that I'm in the wrong place, but that I'm in the right place. And I tell this story about being in the Al Gore Inconvenient Truth audience,
mm-hmm.
when he did his debut here in Boston.
Yeah.
And I realized during the Q&A that I was completely out of step, because everybody was sort of bowing down, and I really wanted to say, wait a minute, you know, why didn't you really come back to the root causes? So mm-hmm. I felt the pounding heart. And
Frankie, I got to stop there.
I'm sorry.
But people have to pick up the book. A lot of great ideas, very practical and uplifting. It's called Getting a Grip, Francis Moore LePay. Great to talk with you.
Wonderful to talk to you, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Wachovia, rated number one in customer satisfaction for 6 years in a row by the American Customer Satisfaction Index. I'm Charles Osgood. What currency do you get paid in? Dollars? Okay, then. For you, oil and petroleum products like gasoline and heating oil have been more and more expensive. But if you were paid in some other currency, these things would be getting cheaper. Because?
The dollar in the United States continues to get weak, making oil a bargain for the rest of the world.
More after this for Wachovia. Wachovia wants to help you say thank you to somebody special. Before October 5th, visit wachovia.com/thank you to enter the Who Would You Thank contest. Tell us who you want to thank and why. And if selected, your nominee could win a prize valued up to $25,000. Nancy from Dallas wrote, I want to tell my husband thank you for supporting me when I wanted to open my own interior design company. Who would you thank? Brought to you by Wachovia. Wachovia Bank N.A. is a member FDIC.
Chevy wants to talk to you about the air in your tires. Look at the guy in the lane next to you. See those saggy tires? According to fueleconomy.gov, properly inflated tires may improve your gas mileage by up to 3%. If everyone in the U.S. did this, we could save millions of gallons of fuel each year. So every 2008 Chevy car and half-ton truck will come with a tire pressure monitor that automatically alerts you when pressure is low. Go to Chevy.com and learn more. Do more. Use less.
As the dollar weakens and oil is denominated in dollars, the euro and most other currencies buy more dollars or more oil for their money, as Mike Fitzpatrick, Vice President for Energy of MF Global, can tell you.
If the dollar declines in a non-dollar denominated economy, that represents a price cut like any commodity. Once an item is cut in price, it's like being on sale. As the dollar remains under pressure, demand will stay high in those non-dollar denominated economies.
For a while there, oil prices had been leveling off, but then
the geopolitical winds and the tropical winds started to blow.
Notes Phil Flynn of Aileron Trading. What geopolitical winds?
The rhetoric with Iran has been on the rise in recent days, and traders that have been trying to ignore the increasing tensions with Iran are starting to take notice.
The traders are the ones who decide whether to buy or sell on commodity markets, and they look at things that affect either supply or demand, such as tropical winds. Again, Mike Fitzpatrick.
Oil climbed up towards its recent highs again. Several instances were cited, whether that was forming up in the Gulf of Mexico where it's potentially dangerous to supply.
Like exchange rates and barometric pressure, the price of oil fluctuates up and down, mostly up. The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s are available at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yeah, let's try this one. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next hour, a crack in the police state tactics of the Bush administration. A Bay Area attorney, John Eisenberg, will join us. There may be a way around the Catch-22, the smokescreen the government's thrown up against challenges to the illegal wiretapping and surveillance of Americans, some of which originates right in my backyard here in San Francisco at the big AT&T switch.
Did I hear you say?
Joining me now is Jeffrey Feldman. He's an expert on rhetoric and framing, the way we communicate, good and bad. And he operates a powerful website called frameshopisopen.com. Welcome back to our program, Jeffrey.
Hey, Peter.
Good to talk with you again. Before we get into the meat of the moment that I want to discuss with you, I pulled up your website before the show, and there's some fresh information there. I would call it coverage that I haven't seen anywhere else, about a fascinating connection between the Giuliani campaign and the Austin-based political consulting firm of Olson and Shuvalov.
Yeah, it's a mouthful to pronounce, but the bottom line is that when Karl Rove moved in to work full-time for President Bush, he liquidated his firm, Karl Rove and Company, and he sold all of his assets to another firm, which became the Olson and Shuvalov consulting firm. So it's the legacy of the Karl Rove political machine in Austin. And looking over the FEC filings for the Giuliani campaign these past two quarters, some of the largest expenses that he put out there were to this firm. And so Giuliani has really become the new protege of the Rove machine.
Now, do you think this is where he got the advice on, interrupting speeches to take cell phone calls, allegedly, from his wife?
You know, it's funny because even though that seemed like a really quirky thing to do, what Giuliani has been able to accomplish this past week is almost a complete control of the headlines. He's managed to nose his bald head into just about every single, news story.
Hey, watch it. Watch the bald comments.
Have nothing to do with him. He was mentioned in the Democratic debate. That NRA speech, no one is talking about the fact that Rudy Giuliani came out against assault weapons. He was an outspoken opponent of the NRA. Instead, they're talking about that quirky little moment. So, Giuliani, a lot of people write him off, but, looking at that, at the expenditures from his campaign really made me realize that he's very, very serious, and that I think that he's got a long way to go. And Democrats really need to take aim at him.
But that compliment that came from Joe Biden is hardly going to carry any weight. I think he said he is the least well-informed person on foreign policy running for president this year.
Yeah, but I remember another kind of really poorly informed person who ran for president a few years back.
Well, our children's is learning from his mistakes. Jeffrey's the author of a book that's out now called Framing the Debate, Famous Presidential Speeches and How Progressives Can Use Them to Change the Conversation. And Jeffrey, I'm afraid that the presidential candidates have not read your book.
Well, they haven't, unfortunately. Although, I think that for a while, John Edwards was trying to really talk about the issue of framing when he introduced it into the debate, talking about the war on terror being a framing tactic
Yes. Rather
than an actual idea.
I give him credit for that.
Mm-hmm. Edwards has been good, but unfortunately not getting as much traction as he possibly could, so he's retreated from that tactic a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Now, your post at frameshopisopen.com, I think, is a fascinating look at this Dartmouth joint appearance. It wasn't a debate. It was a series of round-robin questions delivered by Tim Russert with his gotcha shtick intact, very low tech. Russert wasn't able to entrap people with videotape and sound bites, and it was kind of lame when he used that quote from Bill Clinton against Senator Clinton, and she was surprised that his position on the ticking time bomb Jack Bauer scenario that'll never occur was that, yeah, we ought to go ahead and torture that guy and it ought to be permitted under policy. And in the trap set by Russert, again, without the benefit of videotape, it just shows how low the budget was there, she was surprised at first and then, I thought, recovered very well and said, well, I'll talk to him later. But it was interesting, as you point out, that the way things occurred now is that the field, with the exception of my wild card buddy, Mike Gravel from Alaska, and Dennis Kucinich, that the top tier is really swinging to the Clinton frame. And this gives Bill Richardson an opportunity to catapult into third place.
Yeah, Bill Richardson, and I also think Chris Dodd, the two candidates there who really said that they would commit to withdrawing troops within right away in their first term. And, of course, the issue that came up was when Russert threw out this question asking if everybody on stage would commit to withdraw troops by 2013, which at first seemed like an odd number to throw out there because it seems like such a long way away. But he was basically asking, will we still be wrestling with the Iraq War at the beginning of your next term? Will it be the big campaign issue when you run for re-election? And it was really shocking to see that our top candidates, Obama, Edwards, and Clinton, they all hemmed and hawed instead of saying, absolutely, this is a top priority. We're going to get our soldiers home, and we're going to fix this policy. But Richardson has been very outspoken in the week before that, talking about using this phrase, no residual troops left in Iraq, which may seem a little bit cryptic to listeners. But what Richardson means by that is that he believes that the American soldiers are the real impediment to any kind of peace process, but he believes that there should be highly trained forces and allied nations in order to engage in fighting terrorism, and that by withdrawing we can get people to the peace table. And Dodd as well believes that, he judged it from a different perspective, saying that the policy has completely failed, and therefore it's an imperative to bring home the soldiers because this policy just can't go forward.
Jeffrey, on Richardson, I have a little anecdote to share with you. In the summer of 2005, he came to San Francisco, and somehow I was included in a very small lunch group that met with him. And he was basically asking, should I run for president? And at the time, he had a very fuzzy position on Iraq. It really was almost as fuzzy as Hillary Clinton's. And I told him point blank over the pasta, I said, Governor, that's not going to fly. You really need to have a very clear position about Iraq. Now, I'm not taking credit for being the man who changed his mind, but I am gratified that he did, in the interim period, realize that he needed to have a very explicit, clear, and contrasting position on the war, particularly from Hillary as the front runner. And I think that he deserves a little more traction than he's been getting.
He does. He deserves a lot more traction because his position on Iraq is not just about foreign policy. What Richardson is trying to do, and I do admire his campaign for it, is he's trying to present an alternative frame for what it means to be the president itself, rather than being a president who sits back and allows this foreign policy to essentially be run by a team of experts. Richardson is making the claim that if he's elected president, he will be the active diplomat on the ground. And this comes through in his policy for Iraq because much of it depends on his personal ability and his experience at bringing people to the table and, as he says, simply forcing them to come to an agreement. He uses words like peace conventions and diplomacy.
He dropped the D-bomb, I counted, 10 times in one answer.
Diplomacy, that's right, and it's a hugely important concept. And I think that if Richardson can get enough airtime, then people will see that he is a very, very different kind of president with regards to Iraq than the other candidates up there.
I do have some issues with his endorsement from the NRA and a few other things, but I've got to prioritize this. And frankly, I can't support Hillary because of her waffling. It was very interesting. Russert in his gotcha game, he nailed Mike Gravel for personal bankruptcies, and Gravel really went sideways on that one. He hit Kucinich for the bankruptcy of Cleveland. I thought Dennis had a great response, put it in the right frame, the right context about the interests of the people of Cleveland versus the banks and the utilities. And then he had a double header for Hillary. He said health care and your bad votes and bad positions on Iraq. And she filibustered on health care, and Russert never returned. And that's one of his weaknesses. He's really good at the bluster and coming up with a really tough question. And then when a professional politician, whether it's Dick Cheney or Biden or Clinton, has the well-prepared boilerplate answer, he doesn't follow up.
Yeah, they don't follow up. And I think that they're starting to get the sense of inevitability about the Clinton campaign. Honestly, the Clinton campaign, they've run a tight ship, and they've managed to do things that a lot of other campaigns haven't. Having her on all five talk shows last week was remarkable. Irrespective of what listeners may think about the content of what she's saying, they've been very much out there, and I think that someone like Russert is intimidated by that type of presence. And I've been listening to Chris Matthews a lot lately, and I've been noticing Chris Matthews has been saying that he's warming up to Hillary Clinton. I think that what's happening in the media is that a story is falling into place about what the 2008 election is going to be, and that story involves, if for many of these journalists, they see Hillary Clinton as one side of it. I believe that many of them see Rudy Giuliani as the other side.
Well, especially Matthews. I mean, he has been gushing over Giuliani and offered these disgusting phrases like, he owns 9/11.
I know. They, you know, the journalists are itching to get to the story that they can start to really, lay out. And in that respect, I think what's happening in these forums, and I can say so having been involved in one myself, as someone asking questions.
Which one was that? I missed it.
The Yearly Coast Forum.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
That was in Chicago. I was in Chicago this summer. What's happening is we're seeing the difference between the different journalists or people who interview the candidates more than we're actually learning about the candidates, which is not why we watch these debates. We're not really interested in the range between journalists. We actually want to see some divergence between the candidates. But as we saw in that question about 2013 on Wednesday, more or less the top-tier candidates are afraid of diverging on these real big issues. Now it seems that Obama and Edwards and Clinton are all nervous about looking different on that issue, which is so important to the American people. And instead of showing real big differences, they're just showing small tweaks in their campaign and talking about who is more committed to the people, who is more against George Bush, all these kind of useless positions that nobody cares about.
The thing, we were talking about this yesterday, Jeffrey Feldman, I think that many of these guys, and it's the guys we're talking about, look at Hillary. They look at the momentum. They look at the way the media has offered to crown her or give a coronation. And I think a lot of them are saying, well, gosh, I'm not going to win this thing. Number one, I don't want to be on Hillary's bad side because, people who run afoul of the Clinton get chewed up and that can be a nasty fate. The flip side of that is each one of these guys says, gosh, I could run with Hillary and be a great vice president and contribute a lot to the ticket.
Yeah, I mean, also, just kind of to put an optimistic, kind of tail on that, I think that a lot of people don't see themselves as being up to the fight in the way that the Clinton campaign seems to be. There seems to be a toughness about the Clinton campaign that a lot of the other campaigns are lacking. And, I think that the campaigns, a part of them are realizing that, they want a Democratic a president in the White House. And if it turns out to be the Clintons, well, that's better than having another Republican. So they don't want to end up in the doghouse before the elections happen.
We're going to take a break and return with Jeffrey Feldman. I want to pick up on one of the themes in the thread that he's written at frameshopisopen.com, his reflections on the Democratic Dartmouth debate, in quotes. And it has to do with a Bill Clinton phrase about how the American public would prefer a president who is wrong but strong. Your calls and comments are welcome. If you want to talk about the language of the current debate, 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. You dial 38573-8372 and put a 1 in front of it and then press send. You know how to do that, right? Visit our website at peterbcollins.com.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and guess what? I'm Peter B. Collins. We're talking with Jeffrey Feldman. As I mentioned, he's published a book this year called Framing the Debate, Famous Presidential Speeches, How Progressives Can Use Them to Change the Conversation. And despite the mission creep there on the subtitle, I recommend it to you. And Jeffrey, do you want to talk about it? I'll just say you're working on a new book, and you can say as much as you'd care to.
I am working on a new book, and I have to leave it at that because I'm under deadline. It's a little bit under wraps, but we will be making announcements about it probably in a couple months.
Okay. We will honor that. And when you announce it, let us know. We'd be happy to spread the word.
Definitely.
The phrase that Bill Clinton used, I can't summon it entirely, but he said, you know, Americans prefer a president who is wrong and strong to one who is, I don't remember the rest of the phrase. Do you?
I don't remember exactly.
But that concept is something that you picked up from the, especially Obama, Edwards, and Clinton, with their response to Russert on the 2013 frame for leaving Iraq. And it really seems that the Democrats have decided that the progressives on the left, the anti-war folks who believe they put the Democrats into power on the Hill last fall, will have no place to go. And so the move that the front runners need to make is to resist any attacks from the Republicans that Democrats are soft on national security, soft on terrorism, and therefore if they seem to be in too much of a rush to get out of Iraq, people like Giuliani or Romney or the declining McCain might attempt to really seize on that issue and that it might undermine Democratic prospects.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, going back to 2006, I think that one way to describe what happened in that election was that the American people voted for Democrats in order to solve a problem. And that problem was we're stuck in Iraq and we need to figure out how to resolve that. And that's one way of thinking about what politics are about. You know, progressives, liberals, whatever word you want to use, you know, largely see ourselves as about solving these types of big problems. And when we solve them, it leads to greater social justice, greater balance, greater wisdom, more prosperity, etc. And you know, on the other side of the aisle, there's this Republican vision that the purpose of leadership is to show this kind of autocratic, this authoritarian strength. That's the entire purpose. And I think that what we saw in the debates on Wednesday night was the convergence of the top three candidates on this very Republican notion that if they don't show strength at all times, and what I mean by strength, I mean militaristic strength, particularly through the Iraq policy, then they're going to be hit from the right and they will lose. And I think that the irony in this is that I believe that there's still real fear amongst the top-tier Democrats, that there's a big vulnerability that's out there and just waiting to hit them from, and they're not quite sure who is going to get them yet, that if they don't at all times maintain this firm line of military strength as they define it, then the weakness is going to creep in and the electorate is going to shy away from them. And they're going to move away just enough to give the Republicans, you know, a squeak-by victory.
And I have a bit of a queasy stomach today. In the last 24 hours, the Democrats were successful in passing an amendment to the defense appropriation bill that would expand protection under hate crime protections for homosexuals. That's a wonderful thing. It's something I fully support. But they've attached it to the defense bill, which sends a very strong signal that they're planning to pass that sucker and probably give Bush almost everything that he's demanded.
Yeah, I mean, the adding the hate crimes amendment to that defense bill, if being optimistic again, you could say that one of the reasons they put that in there was to attract the veto. But I think it's unlikely that Bush would veto that. And so you have to see that the Democrats, I mean, the obvious thing here is that the Democrats could not send Bush a spending bill that would allow him to continue on the occupation of Iraq. They could not do that, and that could be the line that they hold, but instead they're going to keep on pushing it forward, reluctant, again, to show that in any way, shape, or form they're going to stand up to the president and bring the policy to an end, but more so fearful of the accusation that they're undermining the troops. I mean, keeping in mind what's happening this week beyond the floors of Congress. I mean, just had Mark Udall, who is a Democrat from Colorado, a congressman from Colorado, who put forward a proposal condemning Rush Limbaugh for a remark he said about
phony troops, phony soldiers.
Phony soldiers, that's right, which is an ongoing continuation here of what happened with the MoveOn ad, where you had, you know, the...
Neener, neener, neener.
Exactly. And so what the Republicans are really trying to do is push this notion that the Democrats are undermining the troops. And the reason that they keep on doing that is because it works for people in Congress. The Democrats really are afraid of that accusation.
Well, and Jeffrey, what really gets me, and one of the reasons that I wanted to ask you on today, is on Thursday's PBS NewsHour, they had a lengthy interview with Steny Hoyer, Majority Whip, number two guy in the House. And there he was, using again the language that was foisted on us during the debate this spring about protecting the troops. And he's there just fumbling around, unwilling to give a clear answer on how much the Congress is willing to appropriate to continue the occupation and for this new demand for equipment, including up to $50 billion for MRAPs, these hardened vehicles that are more difficult to blow up. Now, instead of saying, well, the reason they're asking for this is that they failed to plan for it, and they knew about IEDs and EFPs in 2004, 2005, 2006, and they didn't ask for the money then. There's no argument. They're just sitting there fumbling around, well, we're going to consider, we're not going to give him everything he wants, but they don't have a clear response, and they frame everything in the president's terms.
Yeah, I mean, with someone like Hoyer, you're looking at someone who's crafted in the politics of inches, really. I mean, what Hoyer sees himself as doing is creeping along, taking little baby steps in order to ostensibly attract just a few more people to his side so they can hold more and more binding resolutions. Instead of, you know, what I think that the majority of the American public wants, and the reason that they voted for the Democrats in 2006, is to get someone who will stand up and say, this whole discussion is just wrong from the start. We need to think of ways that we can block this from going forward anymore, and we can reorient things. I think that, you know, rather than being worried about being accused of undermining the troops or kind of throwing things like these new, more safe trucks out there in order to give the appearance of supporting the soldiers, I think that, the Democrats in Congress can talk about service a lot more. They can talk about how much they value the service of our soldiers and what they're going to do to rebuild the military. When you think about it, the first step that we have to take in order to rebuild the military, whose back has been broken by this policy, is to pull back out of Iraq, and at least, to start pulling out right away and as quickly as possible in order to give, our soldiers time to regroup.
And we should supply enough MRAPs to get our troops safely out of the country and no more.
Exactly.
Jeffrey, thank you very much. Frameshopisopen.com. The book is Framing the Debate. Jeffrey Feldman, we'll talk again.
Thanks, Peter.
Good luck finishing your book.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a break and return, talk with attorney John Eisenberg. Have they blown the catch-22 on the government's spying program? We'll find out. I'm Peter B. Collins. This program's produced by Katrina Rill.
you have past due problem debt, we can help. Whether you have personal debt problems or business debt, we can save you anywhere from 40 to 80% off that debt. My name is Rhonda, and I am with BHR & Associates, and we are professional debt negotiators. We charge nothing up front, and if we can't help you, there is no fee. You will have the option to accept or not accept any settlement we reach on your behalf. Remember, no results, no fee. We will be happy to discuss this with you further. There's no obligation whatsoever. Please get in touch with us now for more details and information. Call now. Ask for Rhonda. I will be happy to review your situation.
Don't let mounting debt and collection calls ruin your life. Call now, 888-581-5888. Let the pros negotiate with your creditors with no upfront cost or obligation. Call now, 888-581-5888. That's 888-581-5888.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A new report finds very little oversight of medical experiments.
Clinical trials for drugs and medical devices only get inspected by the FDA about 1% of the time.
The little girl on that taped sexual assault might be named Madison.
He mentions her by name in the video, so that's the only name that we have to go on.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Millions of patients are signed up as guinea pigs for tests of experimental drugs and devices, but a report from the Health Department's Inspector General says the Food and Drug Administration hardly ever checks up on them. And when FDA inspectors did find serious violations, their bosses downgraded the infractions more than two-thirds of the time. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cortes has more.
The findings come as no surprise to Dr. David Ross. He left the FDA in disgust last year. Told, he says, to keep quiet about transgressions by the lead enroller in trials for the antibiotic Ketek.
She made up patients and claimed that they had been enrolled in the trial. She enrolled patients every few minutes when the clinic was supposedly closed. It just went on and on and on.
So it was fraud?
It was fraud, and she went to jail for it.
The FDA told CBS it is committed to protecting clinical trial participants and says it is already acting on the report's recommendations.
Drug maker Bristol Myers Squibb and its former subsidiary Apothicon will pay more than $515 million to resolve state and federal investigations into their practices. Bristol-Myers Squibb was accused of illegally promoting its antipsychotic drug Abilify for unapproved uses, and both companies allegedly used bogus consulting fees, trips to luxury resorts, and other inducements to get doctors to prescribe their products and pharmacies to buy them. Now this.
When you were a kid, wishing upon a star was a cute idea. But unless I'm completely in the dark here, you're not a kid anymore. Though you still got dreams, don't you? You got a plan to get them up and running, or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Maybe it's time for a wake-up call.
Dream Plan Track from Ameriprise Financial. Financial planning redefined. Visit us at Ameriprise.com/dream.
Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You know, good things just make me happy. So when I can find those good things on sale, that makes me really happy. Right now at my neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store, I can save 25% on a wide selection of exceptional paints and stains. The thing I love about Sherwin-Williams is they've got everything. Incredible colors, coordinating palettes and design inspiration, plus everything I need for any decorating project from start to finish. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
It's a stomach-turning video, a girl about 4 or 5 years old sexually assaulted by a grown man.
Nothing that I've seen in my career has come in anywhere close to what this girl has gone through.
Tony DiMeo is the sheriff in Nye County, Nevada, where the tape turned up. There's a man they want to talk to.
Persons of interest we're looking for is a Chester Arthur Stiles.
Stiles is 37. He's already wanted on an unrelated warrant charging lewdness with a minor. Stiles bears a resemblance to the man in the video. Sheriff DiMeo says the man calls the child Madison, a possible clue to her identity. A still from the video showing the little girl was made public for a reason.
The only thing we had was her picture, and we made that heart-wrenching decision, and it was a decision that actually we talked about for a while, but we had to find a way of rescuing her.
Investigators believe the assaults were recorded sometime after October 2005. President Bush invited the world's major polluters to a Washington conference on climate change, where today he proposed establishing a fund to help developing countries go green, but refused to accept imposed emission limits. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
While asserting his commitment to reduce emissions of greenhouse gases worldwide, President Bush still holds to voluntary goals, not mandatory targets.
Each nation must decide for itself the right mix of tools and technologies to achieve results that are measurable and environmentally effective.
Mr. Bush made clear he's sticking to his long-held view that nations can reduce greenhouse gas emissions without damaging their economies. He said the U.S. did it last year. Mark Noller, CBS News, The White House.
The White House is calling on all civilized nations to pressure the military regime in Myanmar, where at least 10 people have been killed and hundreds rounded up in a violent crackdown on protest. Buddhist monks have been fenced inside their monasteries, and today the government cut off access to the Internet, preventing people from communicating with the outside world. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business, just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business, because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
If you could change the world, what would you do? How would you use your power? What human needs would you remedy? And while you may wonder about your ability to change the world, you certainly can change your world. The people of CITGO demonstrate this every day. For example, we've contributed over $82 million to the Muscular Dystrophy Association. And we give in other ways to our local communities all across this country, which actually does change the world. CITGO, there at every turn.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Later this hour, Ron Pollack, who has been leading the charge to expand health care coverage in this country at Families USA, he'll join us to talk about the S-chip vote in the Senate and the prospect of a presidential veto. But first, we're going to talk about a setback for the creeping police state in this country and a possible end run to the Catch-22 thrown up by our government to block lawsuits against the illegal surveillance of Americans. And first up, I want to give extensive credit to my colleague and friend Jason Leopold from truthout.org. He broke this story, and there's a video interview with our next guest that you can see for yourself at truthout.org, right there on the home page. And this is potentially a very big story for those of us who believe that the Fourth Amendment should remain in full effect, that the Patriot Act and other efforts by the Bush administration have overreached and really crossed lines of privacy and constitutional rights for American citizens. And I have concerns about people who don't happen to be American citizens, too. Can't do so much about that aspect of it. John Eisenberg is an attorney based in Oakland, and he represents two other lawyers, Wendell Ballou and Asim Ghafoor. And in that context, he has recently developed some information that could challenge the government's efforts to rebuff all lawsuits related to what is euphemistically referred to as warrantless wiretapping, and I call it clear violations of our rights and the explicit statute, the FISA law of 1978, which was passed after the abuses of the Nixon administration. John Eisenberg, welcome to our program.
Thanks, Peter. I'm glad to be on the show.
Well, thank you for the work that you're doing, and this is certainly going to be a long haul. Your focus is on appellate law, and you may be at this for another 5 or 10 years, you think?
It could be. We've been at it for a year and a half so far, and if it plays out to the conclusion we hope for, it probably will take another couple years, maybe three.
Yeah. Now, we're seeing some courageous federal judges, one in Portland, who ruled against explicit provisions of the Patriot Act, citing the Fourth Amendment, among other American rights. Anna Diggs Taylor in Detroit was very brave in her ruling on behalf of plaintiffs, including our friend journalist James Bamford and others who believed that they had been subject to this illegal eavesdropping or surveillance of email or other communications. And in these cases, they've come up against a brick wall erected by our government. It started with John Ashcroft, who used the state secret privilege to silence one Sybelle Edmonds, a woman who's been on our program many times, who is a courageous American, and she is an adopted citizen of this country. And she challenged Ashcroft on his efforts to gag her, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and she was her rights were rejected there. Then in San Francisco, Judge Vaughn Walker has been hearing cases related to the NSA activities, which we believe have taken place at the AT&T switch facility, where the government has a dark room, a special room that is off limits to just about everybody. And technicians have led us to believe that that is where phone calls and email traffic is being intercepted. Now, with that background, and before we get into the evidence that you may be able to bring to challenge this brick wall that's been thrown up, what is the current status of these various suits against the NSA?
Well, all but one of the lawsuits filed across the country, and there have been about three dozen now, all but one of them has been have been consolidated before Judge Vaughn Walker in San Francisco. The one that wasn't consolidated was the lawsuit you're referring to on behalf of James Bamford and some other some reporters. That lawsuit is ACLU versus NSA, and that's the Anna Diggs Taylor lawsuit. The Circuit Court of Appeals a few months ago ordered that lawsuit dismissed based on the state secrets privilege. So that lawsuit is no longer active. Currently, as I say, about three dozen are pending in the district court. That's the lower court in San Francisco. And two lawsuits, mine and another one involving the dark room you mentioned at the AT&T facility, are pending in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on the West Coast.
Okay. And as you look at this situation from a legal perspective, in the interview with Jason Leopold, you identified the FISA law and what you call tort, and that's not a layer cake. Explain to our listeners what a tort violation can lead to.
Well, lawyers are fond of saying a tort is a civil wrong other than a breach of contract. We normally think of them as negligence. Battery cases, civil batteries, that sort of thing. The FISA law, which was passed in 1978 in response to the warrantless wiretapping abuses of the Nixon administration in particular, makes it a crime and a tort to wiretap within the U.S. without a warrant in certain circumstances. It's a crime, it's a felony, in other words, under the law. When we say it's a tort, it means that the victim of such warrantless wiretapping may sue for damages, for money, if there has been a violation of the law. And that's what we have done. We believe our clients were wiretapped unlawfully. We are not expecting the Justice Department to commence a criminal prosecution under the criminal provisions of FISA. So we have commenced a civil lawsuit.
Okay. We're talking with attorney John Eisenberg here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's with us for another segment. So if you have a question about the NSA issues and the issues we're about to discuss, feel free to give us a call. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-383-8372. Now, just a couple of other items here to set the stage. The state secret privilege, which you described, is not based on a statute, is it? It's a precedent.
It's a court-created doctrine, and let me step back a bit and mention there are two kinds of lawsuits pending throughout the country. One involves the type of activity we're challenging in my lawsuit, Al-Haramain versus Bush. That's actual warrantless surveillance of particular individuals. The other type of lawsuit is challenging what we call data mining, the government's use of telecommunications records to keep track of who's calling whom, but not necessarily the contents of those calls.
Mm-hmm.
In each one of these lawsuits, the Bush administration is claiming that they must be dismissed. They cannot be litigated in the courts because the very subject matter of the litigation is a secret. And to litigate these issues in the courts would threaten national security. You're right. There's no statute that provides for this privilege. It has its roots in a 1953 U.S. Supreme Court decision where the survivors of a plane crash, a military plane crash, attempted to learn the cause of it, and the government said, we will not give you any information about the crash because it could involve national security concerns. And the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the right of the government to withhold that information. Now, oddly enough, 50 years later, one of the children of one of the decedents did a little digging and discovered that the document that had been at issue in that case in 1952 was no longer classified. And she got access to the document, and it turns out there were no state secrets in it at all. It just demonstrated negligence by the government. So the very foundation of the state secrets privilege was based on a lie.
And the FISA law was based on the phony claims that Nixon used that there were national security issues related to the Watergate break-in, and that's why he should not be investigated. These things fall into a pattern. And since then, the Bush administration, starting with Ashcroft and expanded by Gonzales, has used this state secret privilege in ways that at least I never imagined. And they want to shut down anything that comes even close to requiring them to provide a legal basis for the activities that they've undertaken.
Well, they've invoked the state secrets privilege roughly 36 times, as I understand it, during the course of the George W. Bush administration, far more than any other president has in the past 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And to give you an example of how absurd it is, I think my case alone demonstrates the absurdity of their claim. I guess we'll get to the evidence we have in a minute, but mm-hmm. all we want in our case to use our evidence for is to show the fact that our plaintiffs were surveilled. None of the details of how it occurred, the methods or means of the surveillance, just simply the fact of the surveillance, which is necessary to give us the standing, the showing that our clients were actually wiretapped, mm-hmm. that gets us into court.
This addresses one of the issues that has led to dismissal of other cases, which is standing. Do you have the right to sue? Can you prove that you have been harmed? Bamford and the ACLU plaintiffs could not really say for certain that they had been eavesdropped or that communications had been intercepted. They expected it had happened, but they couldn't prove it. And after we take a break here, you're going to be able to show us, at least lead us in the direction of how you might be able to blast through that catch-22. So stand by, please. We'll take a break and return. Attorney John Eisenberg is our guest. Again, if you have a question or comment, my lines are open for you toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And be careful calling Elvis. The NSA might listen, tape, and look for those key words.
Calling Elvis, is anybody home? Calling Elvis, I'm here all alone. I didn't leave the building, I can't get to the phone. Calling Elvis, I'm here all alone. Well, tell me I was calling, just to wish you well. Let me leave my number, Heartbreak Hotel.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
The Monterey Toreadors have invited the Santa Cruz Cardinals to come play at MPC this Friday. 7:15 pregame, 7:30 kickoff.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. Welcome to traffic. Well, welcome to the weekend, at least. Well, we want to take a look at a problem in Monterey, getting word of a crash. Highway 68 at York Road is on the right shoulder. Two vehicles, and a CHP should be present on scene. Looking at the Santa Cruz Mountains, no problems to report there. That certainly is some good news. Salinas getting word of a couple problems. Northbound 101 before Airport Boulevard in Salinas. We have a four-vehicle crash. The left lane is blocked. Fire department emergency crews with paramedics and CHP all on scene. Also, taking a look at Salinas, southbound 101, just before Main Street, there's a two-car crash there. Now, this is on the right shoulder of the off-ramp. What I can tell you is that CHP is on scene there. Quickly, Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at M-Line. The off-ramp still closed for road work until the summer of 2008.
Listening to the Peter B. Collins Show from San Francisco, and we're talking with attorney John Eisenberg, who is working to blow past, as I mentioned, the brick wall erected by the government around the illegal spying on American citizens. I believe it's a clear violation of the Fourth Amendment and the FISA law of 1978. And I also want to thank John Eisenberg just in passing for your work on behalf of Michael Schiavo during one of the fascist days that we faced just a few years ago. That must have been quite challenging.
It was indeed.
So, sir, explain to our listeners, I tried to lay the groundwork, even though I never went to law school, about the legal issues that you're confronting. And there is one more, and that is that there is a law that could put you in jail if you tell us too much about what you know.
Well, here's the problem. The evidence we
are relying on to demonstrate our standing, the fact that our clients were actually surveilled under this warrantless surveillance program, is a document that was accidentally given to Al-Haramain Islamic Foundation's lawyers during legal proceedings in 2004. It's a top-secret classified document that was given to the attorneys by accident. 6 weeks later, the FBI went to all the attorneys and others who had received copies of the document and took it back. But they didn't manage to get back all the copies because some people overseas got copies as well, and they didn't go to those people.
Mm-hmm.
So we, when we filed our lawsuit, filed our copy of the document with the court in Oregon as evidence of the unlawful surveillance. We no longer have a copy of the document. The court has the copy. We are not allowed access to it. We need it to demonstrate our surveillance, either the document itself or to be able to make reference to it. That's the issue that's being decided now in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. May we use this document to demonstrate standing? Now, I can't tell you what is in the document because there's a law called the Espionage Act that makes it a crime for anybody to reveal top-secret information to an unauthorized person, which is why I can tell you we've got it, or we have it, and what I believe it proves, but mm-hmm. I cannot tell you what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it remains to the court, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, to tell us whether or not we can even use what we know, what we've seen, to demonstrate our client's standing.
Well, I certainly hope you prevail, and given the reputation of the leftist bent of the Ninth Circuit, I know Bush has been appointing people to try to correct that. I hope you draw a panel there that will evaluate it the way I see it, and that we can actually blow past these barriers that have been erected. Let's take a phone call. George in Sacramento, thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you, Peter. I'd like to start out by, I'm one of the plaintiffs in the AT&T suit.
Okay.
And when they released the report on the Callan report, when they got it out under the FISA Act, that what I discovered in there was that they're directly quoting my emails from before my one protest.
Mm-hmm. So then do you believe that you have evidence that you have been illegally monitored?
Oh, absolutely. I knew I was being monitored, and I continue to have evidence that the computer's been taken offline, and I have it in storage showing the emails that they directly quote from.
Very interesting. And are you represented by John Eisenberg or someone else?
As far as the AT&T lawsuit, like I said, I'm one of the plaintiffs, so the ACLU of Northern California is working with that.
Okay, so that's separate, John Eisenberg, from your effort?
Yes, as I said, there are a number of these cases all over the country.
Mm-hmm. And are you surprised at all by George's assertions here?
Not really.
Mm-hmm. Is there a pattern? is there a pattern, John, that you have seen in the various cases that you've read or reviewed?
A pattern in terms of who's being surveilled?
And the methods or the at least evidence that has indicated that the surveillance took place?
Well, there's not much evidence out there in terms of specific surveillance. Oddly enough, the pattern that's begun to develop has been enabled by some public admissions by the new director of the National Security Agency, Mike McConnell, who has recently said, for example, that overseas communications are intercepted within the United States, which brings them within the coverage of the FISA law.
Mm-hmm.
So the patterns that are developing, again, oddly enough, seem to be coming from either accidental disclosures by the government or inexplicably intentional disclosures mm-hmm. by the government.
And John, just about 20 seconds remaining, does the what I call the NSA amnesty bill that passed the Congress in early August, is that going to somehow invalidate your efforts?
No, because in our case, we're suing for past conduct,
mm-hmm.
which the new FISA amendments back in August don't address.
Very good, sir. Will you keep us posted on developments?
Be happy to.
Love to talk with you again. John Eisenberg, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, open phones, and then we'll talk about the S-chip override.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Finding Tanya Ryder. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Tanya Ryder is recovering at a Seattle hospital after 8 days pinned in an SUV that missed a curve in a Seattle suburb. She went over a steep embankment on the way home from working the night shift, and the wreck was hidden in the bushes. Except she had a cell phone, and it was working, and her husband says he had asked the police to track its location last Saturday. But instead, the police tracked her bank account, and when they saw a withdrawal...
It just looked like Tanya Ryder elected not to go home.
So said the detective. Except the couple has a joint banking account, which the husband was using to buy gas to look for his wife. And so Tanya Ryder sat pinned in the driver's seat with her cell phone Saturday. She sat pinned in the driver's seat Sunday, and Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, until finally the police did track the phone, and once they did, they found her in a few hours at 1:45 yesterday.
We don't take missing person reports on adults right away unless they meet our criteria.
Which means they have to be mentally ill or abducted. You can't believe a husband of 15 years when he says his wife was supposed to be home and wouldn't just run off. I know, I watch a lot of cable news, too. It's always the husband. And yet, how many husbands listening right now would know beyond any doubt that if your wife went missing, it wouldn't be because she just ran off, and it wouldn't be you? You know, had she been a terrorist, they'd have tracked her phone. How about this? Officer, I think my missing wife might have a dirty bomb in the trunk. You'd be charged with filing a false report, but I bet the jury would let you off. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. 33 minutes after the hour. Coming up shortly, we're going to be joined by Ron Pollock. He is the president and founding executive director of Families USA. One of the longest efforts to expand health care coverage in this country, going back to the 1990s. And he's going to be with us to talk about the good news, which is that the Senate passed the S-CHIP, the Children's Health Care Insurance expansion that Democrats have advocated, by a veto-proof margin. That is not the case in the House, where they are 24 votes shy. And it remains to be seen, A, if the president will follow through on his threat to veto this bill to protect America's children, or if he will think twice about that, given that with only 24 votes to pick up, Speaker Pelosi certainly may be able to close that gap. So I think that'll be interesting, and Ron Pollack will join us in about 15 minutes. In the meantime, I'm open for your phone calls. Maybe you want to talk about the NSA spying and the work of Attorney John Eisenberg. As I told you, I'm guardedly optimistic that this could be the effort that blasts through the Catch-22 and allows us to have a fair hearing in the judiciary on the efforts of the executive branch to expand its power in, in direct contradiction of the Constitution and the FISA law to spy on American citizens. And this so-called warrantless wiretapping, you know, you hear that in the corporate media over and over again. It was illegal. Now, some of this is no longer the case because the Democrats caved in the first weekend of August and allowed this NSA bill to go through that amended the FISA law in certain respects. But as John Eisenberg said in response to my final question, his case is not neutralized, at least he doesn't believe so, by that recent legislation. So I am hopeful that when you put this together with the courageous judge in Portland who ruled in favor of Attorney Mayfield, Brandon Mayfield, he is the man who was just surprised as anyone else when the FBI came knocking on his door and saying, hey, didn't you have something to do with the bombings in Madrid in 2004? And the Mayfield case has produced a ruling by Judge Ann Aiken of the Federal District Court in Portland, and she has said the two provisions of the USA Patriot Act are unconstitutional because they allow search warrants to be issued without probable cause being shown. That's a fundamental right under the Fourth Amendment. And so this, I think, is very encouraging. And for most of our listeners, I want you to know that the attorney for Mr. Mayfield, Eldon Rosenthal, will be with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show this coming Monday at, I believe, 4 p.m. Pacific time. And if you're not in range of the program, you can hear it online. The link is there for you at peterbcollins.com. But when you take these together, they are serious threats to the police state tactics of the Bush administration and to their gross expansion of presidential power, some by assertion, some of it, unfortunately, ratified by the Congress, both in terms of the Military Commissions Act relating to detainees and in this spying effort as well. So, as I say, I'm somewhat encouraged by that, and I hope that we can follow this as it goes forward. 888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to join us, 888-573-8372. Also, I really enjoyed my conversation with Jeffrey Feldman as we were discussing the way the Democrats are operating and the way the issue right now is being played. And I want to talk about that in a little bit because I am going to supply for you what I think are the right answers that we should have heard from the leading Democrats in the so-called debate that occurred at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire the other night. But I understand that Ron Pollack is with us now, and I'm delighted to talk with him once again. As I mentioned, Ron Pollack is the founding executive director of Families USA. We were there in Washington for their annual conference last January, and we plan to be there again in January of 2008 to help move forward the efforts to expand health care to all Americans. Ron, welcome to our program today.
It's great to talk to you again.
Well, and Ron, it's very interesting to see from where we last checked in. We've talked since January, but if we use that as a marker point, a lot of progress has been made. We saw the House pass the S-CHIP expansion, and this is critical for those of us who want to start covering every American by first covering some of our most vulnerable, the children, particularly those in families that can't afford the escalating cost of health insurance today. And so with the House passage buttressed by the veto-proof margin that the Senate was poised to deliver. Now, I saw the cloture vote yesterday. That was 69 votes. What was the ultimate vote on the package?
The ultimate vote, there were 67 votes. Some members were absent, but the key vote was the cloture vote that you mentioned, and we had 69 votes. So you need 67 to make the bill veto-proof in the Senate, but we have 69 votes. We had 68 votes the first time a few months ago, but since that time, the senator from South Dakota, Tim Johnson, has returned to the Senate,
right,
and that's how we picked up the 69th vote.
Mm-hmm. So are you encouraged because the president has taken a pretty firm stand and threatened this veto despite the implications of it, and we have seen Republicans in large numbers in the Senate cross over, and there is that 24-vote gap in the House. Do you think that with the Senate example that there are more votes available in the House?
Well, I don't know whether we're going to pick up the other votes. I will tell you this much, though. The Republican members in Congress are incredulous because, you know, they feel that the president is making them walk the plank on this. Obviously, passing this legislation for children's health care is very popular. If you look at all the poll data, irrespective of whether you look at Democrats, Independents, or Republicans, by huge margins, the American public wants this done. And so what happened was the Republican leadership invoked discipline among its members to try and make sure that no more than the 45 who wound up straying in the House would stray. So I don't know whether we'll get to 290, but I will tell you this much. I believe that the leadership, the Democratic leadership, is going to bring this legislation up over and over again if the override fails. And I believe sometime in the not-too-distant future, the Republicans in Congress are going to say to the president, you know, get this thing done. We don't want to take these votes as we get closer to November 2008.
Well, it's interesting to hear this comment quoted in the New York Times today from the Republican leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell. And there are two themes here we'll touch on. Our Democratic colleagues have taken S-CHIP hostage, and what they want in exchange is Republican support for government-run health care, courtesy of Washington. Democrats are counting down the hours so they can tee up the election ads saying Republicans don't like kids. Well, that last part is his expression of fear and the very dissension or lack of discipline that really exists in the Republican caucuses of both houses.
Well, you know, this nonsensical claim that this is going to lead to a government takeover, socialized medicine. I mean, this Orrin Hatch is the leader of socialized medicine. Charles Grassley is the head of wants socialized medicine. You know, this bill is even endorsed, believe it or not, by the insurance companies, the pharmaceutical companies, the hospitals, and the doctors. These are the groups that are the most steadfast against the government takeover of the healthcare system, and yet they believe that this is good legislation. You've got governors, irrespective of party, saying pass this legislation. So the president here is pretty much in isolation. Mitch McConnell and John Boehner in the House, the two leaders of the Republican Party in the Senate and the House, they're obviously, you know, doing their job of trying to invoke party discipline. But I'll tell you, this not only is this harmful for kids, which is what we all care about, but this is really going to be ultimately harmful for the Republican Party. And so if they want to continue being obstinate about it, I think it is going to have an impact in 2008.
We're talking with Ron Pollack. He's the executive director of Families USA, and he's with us for a few more minutes. I know your schedule's really busy, and you're probably in demand, so I'll take about five more minutes with you, if that's okay.
I'm happy to be with you.
Great. Okay. One of the issues that's been raised, and I'll just share this with you, yesterday we were talking about S-CHIP and the way it's being funded. And, of course, the Democrats have taken a pledge to try to not expand the deficits by a pay-as-you-go approach. And so they have decided to pay for this with a $1 a pack increase in the federal tobacco tax. And I heard from a smoker, but not a drinker, yesterday, who said, well, why don't they tax booze? You know, they ought to tax somebody else's sin. And I allow as how I have mixed feelings about sin taxes, because they require people to keep sinning in order to keep the revenue coming in. What's your comfort level with using a tobacco tax, which is a tax on a product that's killing people? We'd like to see them reduce that consumption. But the Hobson's choice here is that as people respond to the higher tax and stop reduce the consumption of tobacco products, the funding for this will decline.
Well, I'll get to that in a moment. First, let me say the tax increase on a pack of cigarettes will take it to $1. It's a 61-cent increase. It's currently 39 cents.
I see. Thank you. That's correct.
And the Congressional Budget Office has estimated, after figuring out what the reduction will be in smoking, they obviously have to factor that in, that this will raise, over the next 5 years, $35 billion. And that's assuming there is going to be a reduction in smoking. So this is paid for even with all the fiscal assumptions being that it's going to reduce smoking. Now, I favor this because I believe from a public health standpoint, this is a win-win proposition. It's a win, obviously, because we're going to see 4 million additional kids get health coverage who are currently uninsured. But it's also a win because we're going to have fewer children smoking. The statistics from the American Cancer Society and the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, their data says that for every 10-cent increase in the tobacco tax, there's a 7% reduction in children smoking. There's a 4% reduction in adult smoking. So I think it is going to improve the health, certainly of children, both ways. And so I think it's a good thing. You're right that when you have a higher tax, fewer people will smoke, and you have to factor that in into how much money you're raising. But as the Congressional Budget Office did in factoring it in, it raises enough money to provide this new coverage.
And do you reject the idea that it's blood money in essence?
Well, I think that if I had one discomfort about it, my biggest discomfort about it is that something like a tobacco tax tends to hit lower-income people harder, and that worries me, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But from a public health standpoint, this is the right thing to do.
Well, and Ron, on a practical basis, we know that this whole tax-cutting mantra that the Bush administration has used so disastrously is a big roadblock, and the Democrats have to be somewhat clever or at least resourceful in finding ways around that. They're not going to be able to raise the income tax or other federal broad-based taxes to pay for this.
Well, one of the things the Democrats tried to do in the House and actually passed on the House version of the bill, but it's not in the final version of the bill, was they eliminated the huge windfall excess payments that insurance companies are receiving under Medicare. As part of President Bush's effort to privatize Medicare, he was able to push through, as part of the prescription drug bill that passed in 2003, huge payments to so-called Medicare Advantage plans. These are all private plans, and they're getting payments well in excess of what would be paid under traditional Medicare. And the House did pass that as part of its bill. That saves an enormous amount of money. It is a very cost-effective thing to do. But it's pretty controversial because the insurance companies really fought that very hard. That was dropped from this bill, and so the only thing that seemed to work that could gain the kinds of strong support was the tobacco tax, and I think it's both good substance and good politics.
And, Ron, I'll note that in a quiet move this week, the Congress raised the debt limit to almost $10 trillion. and that during this week, as the president has threatened to veto the package that would be about $12 billion a year at its peak, he is demanding from the Congress almost $200 billion to continue the bloody occupation of Iraq. And without trying to draw you into foreign policy issues, I just observe that $200 billion is for killing, and the $12 billion a year is for life. It's for the health of our youngest Americans and those who are most vulnerable. And I thought the president had articulated a whole values thing about what he calls the culture of life.
Well, the another way of saying what you just said is that if you calculate the total cost under this children's health bill for next year, remember the $35 billion figure is a five-year figure. If you add up the total cost for next year, you will actually spend more in 2 weeks in Iraq than we would spend for the full year for children's health coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And so this really does not make any sense. And I think it does raise very properly, as you did, question of priorities, and obviously the president's priorities are different than I think overwhelming majority of Americans.
And finally, Ron Pollack, what's your strategy to rebuff a presumed veto from the president?
Well, there's going to be an enormous effort to make sure people know who voted which way. And by the way, one of the things for people to look for tomorrow, you know, the president gives his Saturday his weekly speech on the radio, and we were able to convince the Democratic leadership that has a chance to do a rebuttal each week. They're going to have a 12-year-old child do the rebuttal.
Oh, great.
Who's on the CHIP program. There are going to be lots of efforts to make sure the American public really knows what the president did. And I think ultimately the way we're going to win is the outcry from Republicans in the Congress about being forced to vote over and over again on a very unpopular measure. I think ultimately the president is going to cave. Now, he's going to veto the bill, I believe, this bill.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as the Democrats bring this up over and over again, I think you're going to see they're ultimately going to cave in.
Ron Pollack, Families USA, we're making progress. Thanks for your work.
Well, thank you so much. Good to see you soon, I hope.
Very good, sir. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
We're a little late for a break here. We'll take and return on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com. SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. SoberStones.
Well, how you doing, everybody? Let's take a look at our little traffic report that we need to tell you about. And it's let's cruise right on over to Salinas, where we had a problem earlier. It's northbound 101 before Airport Boulevard. Four-vehicle crash blocking the left lane. Emergency crew is on scene. And also another problem in Salinas. It's southbound 101 before Main Street. A two-vehicle fender bender being reported there. It's on the shoulder of the off-ramp. CHP is on scene. And then we want to take a look at Tres Pinos, Quinsabe Road at Highway 25. Solo vehicle went off the roadway, landed into a field, and emergency crews are en route to the scene there. In Marina, northbound 1 at Reservation, a shuttle van blocking the off-ramp there. Aptos Soquel Drive at Valencia Avenue, two pickups involved in the crash, they're blocking lanes. And this report brought to you by Purell Hand Sanitizer, killing 99.9% germs, leaves hands feeling soft and refreshed.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. I want to thank you for listening wherever you happen to be along California's Central Coast, North Coast, Sacramento, where we're covering for the Vacation in Christine Craft again today on 1240 Talk City, KSAC. Our listeners in Coos Bay, Oregon, and a tip of the hat to our weekend listeners on KPOJ 620 in Portland. Great to have you with us wherever you are and whatever time of day it might happen to be. If you'd like to join us, lines are always open for you, toll-free at 888-5 Peter B. And just after the top of the hour, Mark Crispin Miller returns to our program. His book, Fooled Again, is all about stolen elections, and he'll be covering election integrity issues for us this week. Brad Friedman is on another assignment, and we'll reveal that to you at the end of the next hour, as we'll hook up with him and tell you what's going on. Wanted to just mention that we had a discussion earlier today with Jeffrey Feldman about the Democratic debate on MSNBC that occurred at Dartmouth College. And I just want to read this to you because I continue to feel that Dennis Kucinich gets short shrift. He doesn't get enough airtime. He had to be very resourceful in getting Tim Russert to acknowledge him and let him speak. And when he did so, I thought he was excellent and laid out his positions very well. And the way the event was covered in the Washington Post, they just barely mentioned at the very end of the article that Dennis Kucinich was there. Not anything about what he said. So here's a press release from the Kucinich campaign. The stunning admission by Democratic frontrunners Clinton, Obama, and Edwards that they might keep U.S. troops in Iraq beyond 2013 is tantamount to an announcement of a permanent occupation that could cost U.S. taxpayers $5 trillion and bankrupt any opportunity to address health care reform, education, jobs, or any other domestic policy initiatives. That's a quote from Dennis Kucinich. In remarks prepared for a speech in New Hampshire, Kucinich is expected to challenge the credibility, motives, and fitness of the Democratic frontrunners to serve as president when they either voted to go to war or voted to continue the war. Well, what I would have accepted as a satisfactory answer from Edwards or Obama the other night was, well, based on what I know now, it is my firm determination to bring all American troops home as quickly as possible, hopefully within the first year. And then they could say, unless, excuse me, unless the Bush administration has managed to compound its errors and screw things up even worse to the point that we have to reevaluate that when a Democrat takes office in January of 2008. But I didn't hear that from Obama. And I hear Obama disappointing me on a pretty regular basis now by refusing to directly state his differences with Hillary Clinton and by offering this broad brush about how he wants to change things and have a new kind of politics and bring everybody to the table. That's nice groundwork. That was great 3 or 4 months ago, even a year ago. But Senator Obama, it's time for you to get very explicit and respond to those of us on the left wing of the Democratic Party and make clear that you are not like Hillary. You're not part of the Lieberman wing of the Democratic Party. Those are my thoughts on that. Thank you. We'll continue right after the top of the hour news here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. You might be surprised to learn that when medical researchers and drug companies conduct experiments, there's almost never anyone from the government looking over their shoulders. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has details of a new report.
The FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, does very little to protect people trying out new medicines. The FDA's Inspector General calls for a registry of researchers so those found guilty of abuses won't be employed again. Medical ethicist Dr. Arthur Kaplan comments,
Since human subjects volunteer and altruistically help all of us learn, we owe it to them to make sure we've got an enforcement agency that has teeth.
More inspectors needed. A law giving the FDA more money and authority was signed by President Bush just yesterday. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
The FDA, in a written statement, says it's committed to ensuring strong oversight of clinical trials. Authorities in Nye County, Nevada, have identified a person of interest in that videotaped sexual assault on a little girl. 37-year-old Chester Arthur Stiles is already wanted on an unrelated child sex charge, and he's said to resemble the man on the tape. The victim's name might be Madison. That's what the attacker calls her on the tape. And Detective David Baruchowitz says there are other clues.
From leads from the public, we were able to identify that the dress that the little girl is wearing, or nightgown, was manufactured in spring of 2003, giving us some sort of a timeline on the video.
They believe it was recorded within the past 2 years. The deal between General Motors and the United Auto Workers cleared a major hurdle today when it was approved by the leaders of UAW locals. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert has more.
Workers get more job security. GM gets changes that could save it several billion a year. UAW President Ron Gettelfinger says that money shouldn't just go to the company's bottom line.
I would hope that the corporation would right now be considering how this can assist the consumer by lowering the price of the vehicles. After all, they're in a profitable position now.
The ratification votes begin next week and should be finished by October 10th. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she called President Bush today and told him she's praying he'll change his mind about the Children's Health Insurance Program. But that doesn't seem likely. This is White House spokeswoman Dana Perino.
There's a policy difference here. It's not about who cares about children more than the other. It's a policy difference. The president is saying, let's take care of the neediest children first.
In his Saturday radio address, Mr. Bush will repeat his intention to veto the $35 billion expansion approved by Congress. Your next phone book might land with a thud on your computer. AT&T, in an effort to save trees and reduce waste, says it will try delivering its white pages online in two North Carolina cities. Customers will still be able to request a hard copy. The Dow, 17 points lower, finishing the week at 13,895. The Nasdaq lost 8 points today. This is CBS News.
Welcome to Lardo's. Can I take your order?
Yeah, two love handles and a double chin, too. Baby, what you want?
Can I get a booty doo?
Well, if only 39 cents more, you can get our signature big honkin' booty doo.
What are you really getting in your combo meal? Instead of greasy fast food, try the new Subway Fresh Fit meal that fits into the American Heart Association's approach to a healthy lifestyle. Now with more tasty choices like new hearty wheat bread that's a good source of fiber and low-fat Dannon yogurt. Subway, eat fresh.
Subway Fresh Fit meals are not a diet program.
When you hear the term severe driver, you may think... But AutoZone wants to remind you that's not the case. Severe drivers are actually those folks, like all of us, who drive in stop-and-go traffic, extreme heat, and make frequent short trips. That's murder on your oil, so you need to change it every 3,000 miles. Now at AutoZone, get 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional motor oil and a Fram oil filter for just $12.99. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Here's a story that'll have a lot of people searching the nooks and crannies of their homes this weekend. A man in Florida found a lot of money doing that. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the story.
The homeowner was looking for a bad wire in his attic when he found the strong box stuffed with cash, $100,000, hidden in a hole. He called police because he remembered that there had been a murder in that home before he bought it. Now the home's former owner, also the victim's widow, says she should get the money. Her attorney says police found cash there after the man was killed, later returned it to his wife. The current homeowner's lawyer says there's no way to prove that this cash belongs to her. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Two men's rooms at the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport were notorious destinations for anonymous sex even before the arrest of Senator Larry Craig. Now, to discourage interaction, the airport's getting new stall dividers that reach almost all the way to the floor. A spokesman says it wouldn't be necessary if people behave themselves. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
When you were a kid, wishing upon a star was a cute idea. But unless I'm completely in the dark here, you're not a kid anymore. Though you still got dreams, don't you? You got a plan to get them up and running, or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Maybe it's time for a wake-up call.
Dream Plan Track from Ameriprise Financial. Financial planning redefined. Visit us at Ameriprise.com/dream.
Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You know, good things just make me happy. So when I can find those good things on sale, that makes me really happy. Right now at my neighborhood Sherwin-Williams Paint Store, I can save 25% on a wide selection of exceptional paints and stains. The thing I love about Sherwin-Williams is they've got everything. Incredible colors, coordinating palettes, and design inspiration, plus everything I need for any decorating project from start to finish. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Minutes after the hour, and every week about this time, we like to talk about election protection, election integrity issues. Our go-to guy on that is Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, and Brad is busy today, and at the end of this hour, we're actually going to do a simulcast hooking up with him on the radio. Today, he is on Green 960, KKGN, San Francisco's progressive talk station, an Air America outlet, and he is filling in for John Scott, who is on vacation. He broadcasts a daily news program called the Progressive News Hours. And Brad is sitting in and, from all accounts, doing a great job there. The reason we're going to do a handoff is that next week I get to sit in on Green 960. And this is something that, of course, is very gratifying for me because I operate from San Francisco. But to date, we haven't been able to get a radio station to carry the Peter B. Collins Show on a daily basis. So next week we'll be on Monday through Friday. And for our listeners who listen through their computers or listen to the archives after the fact in the San Francisco Bay Area, we'll be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. That's starting October 1st. And that is at 960 on your AM dial. KKGN are the call letters, and they call it Green 960. So I'm looking forward to that, a way to connect with a lot of my friends, colleagues, and listeners in the San Francisco area. And that'll be next week, and then we'll see what happens. You never know in the radio biz how things roll out. And we invited Mark Crispin Miller, who is a professor of media at New York University, to join us on the program this hour to sit in for Brad. And so far, Katrina hasn't been able to reach him. She's working on that right now. Mark Crispin Miller, of course, is the author of Fooled Again, The Real Case for Electoral Reform. And he is an outspoken advocate for repairing our broken electoral system. The book Fooled Again is out in a new updated softcover edition. It's $16.95. And in the additional material that he added, I just picked up the story here. You may know that he was one of the people who had an encounter, I believe his was in 2005, with a guy named John Kerry. Mark Crispin Miller's book, which details the theft of the 2004 election in my birth state of Ohio, took a copy of his book to a party where he heard John Kerry might be in attendance. He gave him a copy of the book Fooled Again. And he reports, we have no reason to doubt Mr. Miller, that John Kerry flatly told him that he agreed that the election had been stolen from him in 2004. When Mark Crispin Miller reported that to the public, and he has a widely read listserv that we subscribe to here at the program, John Kerry denied that the conversation ever took place. And if we can reach Mark Crispin Miller, one of the things I want to start off with is his reaction to what's become the Taser Boy incident, Andrew Meyer, at the University of Florida, who got tasered because he was unruly in his approach to asking a question of John Kerry. We've heard allegations that he had jumped ahead in line to ask his question. I don't know that for a fact, but in the videotapes that I reviewed, I thought that while he was lively and clearly a challenging questioner for the senator, I didn't really think he was out of line. And he was attempting to ask a three-part question when the people around him, some of whom may have been Senator Kerry's handlers, gave him clear signals that he ought to shut up and get away from the microphone, and he refused. And ultimately, as you know, it turned into an ugly incident that no one profits from. And so that's just one of those cases where John Kerry remains apparently in public denial, but privately concedes or admits or even, you know, freely embraces the idea that the election was stolen from him in Ohio. So we don't have Mark Crispin Miller right now, and when we do reach him, if so, we'll certainly put him on the line. And that means I can open up the phone lines to talk with you. The switchboard is wide open, and you can discuss the S-CHIP bill. You can talk about the Democratic presidential contenders, and perhaps you're satisfied with the articulations they've made about the future of our occupation of Iraq. I certainly am not. And as I told you just before the top of the hour, I really think that Obama and Edwards in particular need to review the kind of comments they give in these debates about their ideas of policy for Iraq. And I think that, as I said, they need to flatly state that it is my determination to get all the troops out and that I'll only modify that under certain very dire circumstances. So that's up for grabs. We talked with Attorney John Eisenberg an hour ago about the efforts to blow past the Catch-22 that has caused the dismissal of many cases related to the violation of citizen rights by the NSA, the National Security Agency, in carrying out the surveillance programs of the Bush administration. And I'm hopeful that long-term we're going to see a break in that situation. So, lines are open. Get on the line. Let's talk. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372 is my toll-free number, and I would be delighted to hear from you on the program today. You can also email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. And look who's here. It's Mark Crispin Miller.
Hey, Peter. How are you doing?
Professor, nice to talk with you again. How's it going for you?
Well, you know, about as well as it's going for you, I reckon. I don't even know you that well.
Well, it's frustrating these days, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, that's one way to put it. Yeah, horrifying is another way to put it.
Well, I have this radio show, and we operate from a secret location in the 415 area code. But it's in a low-tech building where we have therapists on call right down the hall.
That's what you get when you're famous, I guess.
Well, I do this show so that I don't have to be in therapy every day.
Yeah, right.
Mark, I wanted to start off. I was regaling people with tales from your book, and in particular the afterword that you have added to the updated edition of Fooled Again, and it's out in softcover from Basic Books. And I was describing your episode with John Kerry, where he subsequently denied that he had admitted to you or acknowledged, based on your information and that of others, that the election was stolen from him in Ohio in 2004.
Right.
And the Taser Boy incident in Florida at the University of Florida just reminds us, it was Greg Palast's book, not yours. But the whole way Kerry operated, even before the rent-a-cops, the campus cops brutalized that kid, it was just so arrogant and condescending. And certainly the kid showed up with attitude. I freely admit that. I liked it. I liked his attitude because he said, hey, you see this book? And Kerry condescendingly, in his patrician manner, said, yeah, I've got it and I've read it. And he said, well, you won. You won!
Yeah.
And Kerry did not know how to handle that. He's a stiff guy. If he has a sense of humor, we haven't seen it demonstrated much in public. And he just was so awkward and then stood there and permitted that scene to unravel in front of him.
Far be it from me to sing Kerry's praises. I mean, I obviously think very little of his integrity, you know, just based on my own experience with him. But he wasn't present for the actual tasering. They took the kid outside to do that. What upset me more than that was his response or his responses after the incident, which you've probably read.
Yeah.
Said that he certainly hoped that neither the young man nor the police had been injured. You know, talk about trying to be even-handed. You know, he should have expressed concern at the very least about the kid's welfare. You know, and it seems to me he should have expressed considerable outrage that the whole thing had even happened. That an exercise in free speech should have resulted in a kid being dragged away by the cops.
Well, I agree with you that the tasering part was beyond his control. But as they were hustling him to the rear of the hall for the purpose of, wrestling him to the ground and ultimately applying the electric shock, he should have screamed into that microphone, stop.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, and I agree completely.
He should have talked to the student and he could have said, I'll answer your question. If you'll just stand there and listen.
Right.
And then he should have answered the question. Now, I don't know if he ever did answer the question.
Well, no, he didn't. He's, let's face it, I mean, he has a noble past, you know. I mean, the way he came into the public eye, as it were, was incredibly impressive. I mean, that was the action of a great man, it seems to me. And his As a senator, you know, his investigations of Iran-Contra and BCCI were, as I told him when I met him, as a matter of fact, I didn't mention this in the afterword, but those were the highlights of his senatorial career. Now, I have heard since that it was precisely because of that work of his, especially the Iran-Contra stuff, that the right really went after him, I guess in some ways that we don't know about. But he trimmed his sails from that point on. Given the fact that he's no raging leftist, and the fact that he is a billionaire, it's sadly, I think, too much to expect that he's going to represent the interests of the people, And in that sense, John Kerry isn't really much different from most of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
I don't notice that it's interested in democracy, despite its name. And this, too, is not a personal thing. It's not because the people in the party are horrible specimens of humanity. It's because our system has been completely corrupted by big money. That's the long and the short of it. It's very good of you, to have me on, Peter, and I can't thank you enough for dealing with this issue of election fraud, as often as you can. My experience in trying to talk about it publicly has taught me that neither party nor the media cares about democracy. And I would take this further and say that there are a number of, organs on the left as well, magazines and so on, websites, good progressive organs that are weirdly uninterested in democracy, too.
Let me take a break, and we'll pick up there. I like the thread there, and I want to continue. Mark Crispin Miller is my guest. You can join us if you'd like to add to this conversation. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. More coming right up here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years. And he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
There we go. It's time for traffic as you folks make your way home tonight. So let's get to it. We do have a problem in Salinas. In fact, we got several problems in Salinas. One located north 101 before Airport Boulevard and in Salinas. It's a four-vehicle crash clear to the shoulder. In fact, this crash pretty much in the clearing stages. Emergency crews, however, remain on scene. And Davis Road at 183, we have a moving van and an SUV. Along with emergency crews on scene there, because it looks like injuries being reported. Also, Highway 68 at Spreckles Boulevard. In Salinas, we have vehicles swerving to avoid a nasty little garbage can there. And in Aptos, we're looking at Soquel at Valencia. We have an accident there. Two vehicles, two pickup trucks blocking the lanes. Tres Pinos, Quinsabe Road at Highway 25. Solo vehicle went off the roadway, landed in the field. Emergency crews on scene.
I had my folding chair, walked up to the booth, didn't say a word, sure that my voice would be heard. I hit that button, my vote was sent, but now nobody knows exactly where it went.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Mark Crispin Miller is with us. His book is called Fooled Again, The Real Case for Electoral Reform. And, Mark, we were musing before the break just about how frustrating it is that Democrats and Republicans committed to the two-party system seem to have little interest in the real issues of reform that you and Brad and many other activists have brought to the table. And tell us what the current status of the Holt bill is. Last I heard, it was stuck in the Rules Committee, and Louise Slaughter appeared to be putting a brake on it.
Yeah, it's in the Rules Committee, and I am, you know, perfectly proud to say that I'm one of many activists, and that includes Brad and a number of others, who have really been working to prevent the bill from passage, at least in its current form. It looks now, I mean, from what I hear, like its consideration by the House has been delayed, perhaps by months. You know, it was very, very heavily marked up in the spring. You've probably dealt with this on the show. It now stipulates that the only people who can look at the software that's used in the e-voting machinery must be qualified and have to sign non-disclosure agreements.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that any bill that allows the continued use of any kind of electronic voting machine is opening the door to further fraud. So I had big problems with the bill in the first place. I don't believe that it's a, you know, like a baby step forward. I think it's you know, at the very least, going to keep us right where we were.
Yeah.
But with this new stipulation now, which was put in at the behest of Microsoft and other software vendors.
And Holt has admitted that, yes.
Holt has admitted this publicly.
Mm-hmm.
I have a videotape of him saying this on my own blog at markcrispinmiller.com. He admits this. He evidently doesn't think it's so shameful that he should have kept it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that Microsoft won out, and this has, I think, justly impelled a lot of people to complain to their Congress persons. And I understand that you know, a lot of the people who've worked with Holt on the bill are a little mad at him,
mm-hmm,
for having allowed Microsoft and those others to score such an easy victory.
We'll talk a little more about that. I want to sneak in a call here. Curtis in Sacramento. Go right ahead. You're on the air with Peter B. and Mark Crispin Miller.
Yeah, Mark and Peter, one of the things that you guys mentioned earlier was that the left-wing media is weirdly undemocratic as well.
And let's name names. I love The Nation magazine. I can't believe their weak record on covering this issue. And Mother Jones, right here in my backyard, they do great investigative reporting. I know Mark Hertzgard, and I couldn't believe the way he dismissed the forensics on Ohio.
And I was going to say that, frankly, I think the reason for that is the fact that capitalism is amoral, not immoral. It is amoral, just as a tool is amoral, in that it is in the hands of the user that the morality is made. If I am holding a wrench and I beat you over the head with it, that's an immoral use of that tool.
Mm-hmm.
And the user of the capitalist system has to use that system either morally or immorally based on their own decisions. And a lot of times the immorality that's put on people is because of bad decisions made for profit rather than people.
All right, Curtis, you make a great point. I'll get a reaction from Mark, but we've got to take a break first. It's how it works here in AM radio. You can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Mark Crispin Miller here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105, Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the the retirement specialist.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, meet some of the hottest companies that were at last week's West Coast Green Conference at Bill Graham Civic Auditorium in San Francisco. If you want to learn what green real estate is all about, you want to listen to Rock, Roll, and Real Estate this week, your number one source for all your real estate needs. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Don't forget, you can listen online at rockrollandrealestate.com. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Live from the Left Coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news.
Or just ask Dan Rather.
Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections.
We continue on the PBC show with MCM, Mark Crispin Miller. I get emails from him every day, and I really appreciate all the work you do on the listserv, Mark.
Thanks.
Also, I just got notice that for our dozen or so online listeners in the New York area, you're hosting the first Tuesday series each month, and you've got one of the great Naomis. Naomi Klein and Naomi Wolf, I think, have two of the most important books out right now, and Naomi Wolf will be joining you that is this coming Tuesday night at the McNally Robinson Bookstore. That's on Prince Street in New York.
That's right, 7 o'clock.
Okay, great. And, Mark, I want to pick up from where we left off with Curtis's comments, and let me just throw one other thing into the hopper, and that is that the Democrats appear to be content that Rove and Gonzalez are gone, and are they going to pursue the vote caging, the illegal emails, the missing emails from the non-White House servers that clearly violate the Government Records Act, and there are just a number of other things linked to that, but the whole U.S. attorney scandal is, in my view, heavily influenced by the voting manipulation and the fraud committed by Republicans. They allege voter fraud, that is, illegal activity on the part of voters, as a screen, a smokescreen, so they could commit election fraud.
Well, it's partly a smokescreen, and I'm afraid that to a great extent it's also quite sincere. The third and fourth chapters of Fooled Again deal with this kind of pathology. It's a paranoid defensiveness where, you know, you blame your victim for what you're doing to him because you tell yourself you're only fighting fire with fire. He is so barbaric or so demonic that you have to sink to his level in order to do him in. I mean, this was the logic of the Crusades, was the logic of the so-called savage wars on our own wilderness against the Indians. It's the logic of Al-Qaeda. It was the logic of the Nazis. And it's the logic of some of the real, you know, extremist election fraudsters at work in the Republican Party, that they are convinced that the Democrats have always stolen elections and that this has forced the Republicans to use democratic methods. There's also an important component of religious fanaticism behind the election fraud on the right. These are people who think that the Democrats are evil, and that they, therefore, are doing God's work when they steal elections from these people. It's really amazing. Sometimes I wish it were only a smokescreen because it would be less pathological.
But I went to Northwestern. I worked in Chicago radio when the original Boss Daley was still in power. He was in his fourth and fifth terms. And I learned a lot about how the system worked, the patronage, and clearly he had absolute control. I know you have history in Chicago. Your parents are from there, right?
Well, I grew up there, and I was at Northwestern, too. We might have crossed paths.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I remember him well.
Yeah. And so, you know, I met some of these precinct captains and people who had the patronage jobs and knew how they had to buy a table at the fundraisers every year, and they had to get out the vote on election day, and they had to deliver the vote.
Right.
So, I make no bones. Yes, Democrats do have a history of gaming elections and working the system and committing fraud as well.
That's right.
But we have seen it on steroids, and partly because of this shift to electronic voting machines that we have so many suspicions about.
Exactly. Well, you know, there's a myth, a propaganda myth, that Kennedy won the 1960 election thanks to Mayor Daley's election fraud in Chicago. That's false. Illinois was not a pivotal state in 1960. But the fact that we all think that, the fact that that's what people assume, is testament to how successful this paranoid mythology is. That, you know, that theft, they claim, is basically what justifies their having to do it now. But you're quite right. The difference between any kind of traditional election fraud of whatever party and what's been happening since Bush came to power, well, there's no comparison. This is done on a scale and with a technological sophistication and, most important, with a profoundly anti-democratic zeal. You know, these things are entirely new. This is a whole new ball game. These people are trying to destroy democracy. Meanwhile, the left has been sitting back and ignoring it. I don't know if I have time to answer Curtis's.
Yeah, go ahead. We got time.
Well, you know, one of the things, the main thing that I try to do in the afterword to Fooled Again is precisely tell this story of how the left press has responded, not just to my book, my book's the least of it, but how they responded to Bobby Kennedy's articles in Rolling Stone, to Bob Petraeus' work, to Steve Freeman's work, across the board. You know, the evidence of election fraud has been, you know, repeatedly impugned and minimized and trivialized and laughed off by the nation, by Mother Jones, by Russ Baker at TomPaine.com, and especially by this guy Farad Manju at Salon. As I demonstrate meticulously in the afterword, they echo each other. They haven't bothered even to read the basic texts. And I think it does have something to do with capitalism, although I put it a little bit differently from the way Curtis put it. To be perfectly blunt, I think that the fact that the left, so much of the left press, has been so scared of dealing honestly with this issue has a great deal to do with the fact that we're living at a stage of capitalism where we all feel pretty vulnerable, you know, because we are vulnerable. We're all skating on thin ice. And if you're working as a freelance or, you know, on salary for one of those magazines, you're not making a tremendous amount of money. And let's be honest, you know, any one of these guys would give his eye teeth to be the house leftist at Time Magazine or MSNBC. The surest way to take yourself out of consideration for one of those cushy mainstream spots is to allow yourself to be defined as too far out there. So I think this is entirely unconscious. I also know Mark Hertzgaard. I know Russ Baker. I know all these guys, you know. And they're perfectly good guys. And
yeah, on the environment, Hertzgaard is a very strong investigative journalist.
Well, absolutely. And his book on Reagan is a classic. You know, I think very highly of him. And I have to be honest about this, too. If I weren't a tenured professor, Peter, if I didn't have that job security, I can promise you I never would have written that book or any of this stuff on election fraud because it is radioactive and it can be a career killer. But the fact is, you know, we've got to get over that.
Yeah.
The American people, I have no doubt, can accept and have accepted these truths about the Bush administration. You know, enough of them were disenfranchised already to mean that many of them can accept this. And you know, why would anybody argue that these guys are not capable of doing it?
Mm-hmm.
It's the establishment that's the problem here. It's the two parties. The press, the left press, you know, they're the problem.
Well, and it is so endemic and complex because we've got the open bribery of our campaign finance system. We have the way that elected officials either directly or indirectly choose their voters by drawing maps in such an amazing and incredible way, now assisted by computers that can identify, you know, right down to the household where a certain party's voters are likely to be.
Right.
And so, for example, here in California, the gas just went out of the balloon of this Republican effort to rewrite the laws relating to the assignment of electoral votes in the 2008 presidential race.
They rewrite the Constitution.
Yeah, they wanted to, instead of the winner-take-all approach, which is used by all but two states, they wanted to unilaterally change California to basically just deliver some 20 to 22 electoral votes to the Republican candidate. And as John Diaz, who's the editorial director of the San Francisco Chronicle, pointed out and referenced on this show, he said, look, this is built on the gerrymandered districts. And so, you know, when you look at the foundation of that, to then change the winner-take-all system is just compounded corruption.
Absolutely. It's breathtaking.
Yeah.
And thank God that that effort went down in flames.
Yeah, and it seems only that Republican disarray, and they weren't able to tap into the same money that brought us the recall and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's right. Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't that done in, you know, not only by Republican exhaustion, but by the efforts of various grassroots activists? I mean, I didn't notice. Was the Democratic Party involved in combating that?
No. No, they were just watching it, as far as I can tell. It imploded on its own. They had a guy near St. Louis who was the legal author of it, and then an attorney in Sacramento who was trying to raise funds. And just over the past couple of days, it fell apart.
Well, that's a blessing. But I will say that if the Democrats don't get their act together and do something serious about ensuring an open vote count, and do something about these machines, we may well have a President Giuliani over us in a year's time, and not because people will vote for him. You know, I don't think that this party can get anybody elected to the White House. They are so unpopular, even with their own erstwhile supporters, that they're basically finished. I believe this.
I mean,
not because the Democrats are any great shakes, but because the Republicans are just too extreme.
You're so rough on the new, kinder, gentler Rudy. He takes calls from his wife at the NRA.
You know, I'm a New Yorker, and I've seen this guy close up. And
yeah.
He's a monster.
He is. He's really despicable. Let's talk to Chris and Salinas. Thanks for holding on, Chris. You're on with Mark Crispin Miller.
All right, TGIF,
yep.
Peter. And, Mark, thanks for all you do. I'm also on your email list, and I don't know when you find time to sleep with all those emails I get.
Oh.
I have a question. I'm not sure where you stand, but a group here in Monterey County, we're all for hand-counted paper ballots at the precinct. But most or a lot of the groups in the voting integrity community, the true voting integrity community, are okay with optical scan because it provides a paper ballot as a voter record in the case of an audit, you know.
Yeah.
But nobody's addressing the fact that OptiScan is also notoriously inaccurate, and there's no mechanism in place to check the count during the election, you know. And even like when we talked to Brad Friedman, he says get it right on election night. You know, that's a big mantra right now, and I agree with that.
I agree with that, too.
Where and how can we put a mechanism in place to make the scan, the OptiScan, accountable?
I don't think we can. The optical scanners, which are manufactured by the same companies that make the DRE machines, can be manipulated from outside the system. It was a study. Where was this? I think it was the University of Connecticut came out with it, and it was sent around by Avi Rubin, of course, who was big, you know, has been very supportive of these machines, which study that, you know, discovered that you can actually tell the optical scanners what to do from outside. They can be wired, in other words. But as Paul Leto has pointed out, the optical scanners don't actually count the paper ballots. They take pictures of the ballots, and that's what they count. In other words, look, let's just get down to fundamental democratic principles here. whether it's optical scanners or DREs, you know, you're talking about a system that will count the votes in a way we cannot observe, you know, and I'm profoundly uncomfortable with that. I don't care how many computer specialists assure me that it's all on the up and up and it's working right. I don't believe democracy should be consigned to a caste of technicians. I think it should be understood and trusted by even the dumbest of us, because the dumbest of us also deserve to vote, you know? So, you know, I'm a bit of a purist on this issue, but I think that, you know, having studied how much fraud the Republicans have already committed since 2000, I cannot really feel comfortable with any vote counting system that makes it possible to commit more fraud. So I too believe in hand counted paper ballots. And let's point one thing out here. You know, Paul Lato, whom I mentioned before.
Oh yeah, he's familiar. Our listeners are familiar with Paul.
Okay, so you all know Paul. You know, well, Paul's probably mentioned this poll that he commissioned by Zogby, which found, this is last summer, which found that 92% of the American people believe in an open and observable vote counting system. 92%. Now, if this is this whole discussion, Peter, this whole problem has to do with democracy. Well, you know, how much more appropriate could it be then than almost all of us at the grassroots, almost all of us, regardless of party affiliation, you know, believe in a system that's not mystified or obscured by these machines. You know, people want to see the votes counted openly in a way that all sides can observe.
Yeah.
So that's where I stand, and I think that that's where we're going to end up, because ultimately all these extremely costly, exceedingly complicated systems are going to end up screwing us. And we're gonna be disappointed one after another. All these perfect mouse traps are gonna misfire, if I can mix my metaphors, and we're gonna end up with hand counted paper ballots.
Chris, thank you for your vigilance.
Okay,
I'm sorry, I'm out of time, and I've got to sign off with Mark Crispin Miller. We're gonna take a break here and return and hook up with a little radio special with Brad Friedman. Mark, thanks for your work. I want to once again remind people to pick up the new updated edition of Fooled Again, and we will talk to you. Please keep sending those emails.
Okay, thanks, Peter. Bye-bye.
Mark Crispin Miller, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll continue in just a moment.
Let me welcome you to Planet Cool, where corporations are outraged, the city council's outrageous.
It's the first of the two-hour Planet Cruise Comedy Hour with me, Richard Stockton.
I was a feral child raised by Republicans.
Along with comedian Johnny Steele talking Bush.
What was he thinking? I have a better exit plan when I go to IKEA, for heaven's sake.
Friday, October 5th, at the Columba Jazz Center in Santa Cruz, it's a spirit-mending, regime-changing night of comedy with the music of the great Morgani, Ukulele Dick, sketch comedy with the Outpatient Players, Johnny Steele, and me, Richard Stockton.
We want to protect marriage.
Yes.
We make it illegal for everybody. We will want marriage if we outlaw it. Oh, I know, there'll be bumper stickers to say, when in-laws are outlawed, only outlaws will have in-laws.
Join the recording of this Left Coast version of A Prairie Home Companion.
I came here to be enlightened. You know, they always said I was clueless. But I think I'm going to find one this year, because I've already attained Tunis. Let me welcome you.
So get off your big yoga balls and come to the Columba Jazz Center in Santa Cruz Friday, October 5th, for the two-hour Planet Cruise Comedy Hour. You'll want to laugh your glutes off.
Tickets available at PG Liquors, Angelina's, and in Santa Cruz at Gateways Books and Streetlight Records.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Well, once again, it is that time. In fact, it is the last traffic report of the night. Yippee-ki-yay. All right, we want to mention a problem. Let's see, where is it now? It's, well, it's in Salinas. Davis Road at 183, a moving van and SUV has been cleared out of the lanes to the shoulder. Minor injuries reported, so they did call it for the fire crew there. Also, Tres Pinos, Quien Sabe at Highway 25, solo car went off the roadway and landed into a field, and we do have emergency rescue crews on the scene there along with CHP. Also looking at Aptos, it's Valencia Avenue at Soquel Drive. Two pickup trucks involved in an accident. They're off to the right shoulder. Got a couple of tow trucks on scene as well. Southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel. Some slow traffic being reported. And some slow go traffic on the northbound direction as well in pockets.
We're in the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show, originating in San Francisco, which is the home of Air America affiliate Green 960 KKGN. And in just about 30 seconds, we're going to hook up with our good friend Brad Friedman, who has been hosting a program on Green 960 this afternoon and yesterday. And, well, you're going to find out what happens, but next week I get the honor of sitting in 4 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday on Green 960. So our listeners in the San Francisco Bay Area will be able to hear the Peter B. Collins Show in its current form for the first time. So I'm looking forward to that.
Of course, Desi Doyen with her Green News update.
And there's
update.
His Bradness right there.
Manning the Brad Blog chat room. Thank you. And, of course, I want to thank Alan Roberts up there in San Francisco, Heidi Moon for screening the calls, Bob Agnew, Mike Schaefer down here, and, of course, John Scott for letting me sit in. Now?
Now?
Who's coming? Huh?
Now?
Is that Peter B. Collins?
Now?
Peter?
Hello, Brad.
You know, I thought I had the week off from you, my friend.
Well, Brad, we missed you here, but Mark Crispin Miller joined us from New York. And we talked election protection and election integrity issues in your absence.
Good. I appreciate that. And just so folks know, I usually am Peter's Friday night 5 p.m. guest on his show. And I guess I will be next week as well when you fill in for John Scott yourself.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to it as a veteran broadcaster in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm delighted to bring the current incarnation of the Peter B. Collins Show, which is heard from Monterey to Eureka, Portland, and over to Sacramento, into my my home base here in the Bay Area. And we're going to have a lot of fun next week and some very interesting guests. One of the people we've lined up, Brad, is the attorney for the gentleman in Portland, Oregon, who has had a court ruling that challenges several sections of the Patriot Act related to the accusations, the phony accusations, that he had some link to the bombings in Madrid in March of 2004.
I remember that, and they detained him, and then they let him go and said, oops, sorry.
Yep, yep. And the judge there has issued a very forceful ruling. We also talked earlier today with an attorney here in the Bay Area who is perhaps going to be able to cut through the brick wall erected by the Bush administration about lawsuits challenging the illegal surveillance and wiretapping of American citizens. So there's a little bit of hope in fighting these police state tactics, and we're going to be talking a lot about that in the coming week.
We need that because Naomi Wolf was on today, and she scared the crap out of me, Peter.
I believe you. Naomi is also going to be hosted by Mark Crispin Miller in New York on his First Tuesday series coming up this coming Tuesday night.
You see how all you liberals, pinkos, hang together?
Well, you know, it's a vast left-wing conspiracy.
I know it is.
And I'm very much proud to be a part of it.
As am I. Yeah, we had a call today from Secretary of State Deborah Bowen.
Oh, good.
She she's meeting with some Sequoia folks and some elections officials and smacking them around up there. And she has now posted the documentation review just today from her top-to-bottom review. It was the one thing that wasn't posted up till now. And she didn't tell us completely why it was held up, but something to do with the fact that she didn't want to give a roadmap on how to hack the election. So I will look forward to that.
Well,
and
there goes your weekend, Brad.
Yeah, tell me about it. What weekend? I never get one. And all of you radio guys get to go to Italy for two weeks at a time. I don't know how you pull that off.
Well, that was a violation of something, and I did manage to pull it off. The repercussions haven't caught up with me yet.
You did. And now John Scott's out there doing the same thing.
Well, you know, you got to take the time off when you can get it. It's important to recharge and keep it all moving.
Yeah, Well, the bloggers don't get to do that, slacker.
Oh, I don't know. You were on the road for 6 weeks this summer.
Right, and I didn't get a day off. Thanks for noticing. Peter B. Collins sitting in next week for John Scott. Thank you, sir. Always good talking to you.
Thanks for passing the baton, Brad. We'll be in touch, and we'll have you on next Friday on our massive network, including the San Francisco station, Green 960.
I look forward to it. Thank you, sir.
All right, over and out.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for us this week.
There he goes, Brad Friedman. As you heard, he's been live on San Francisco's progressive talk station, Green 960, and I'm looking forward to being there next week. I want to thank all the people who joined us on the program today, from Francis Moore LePay to Jeffrey Feldman, Attorney John Eisenberg. I know we're going to be talking to him again in the future as we continue to fight for our rights to be free of unlawful government surveillance. We don't need a police state to, we just don't need it. You know that. And also to Ron Pollack from Families USA, who brought us more information about the campaign to override the president's veto of the Children's Health Insurance Bill. And last but not least, Mark Crispin Miller, a great American who is, like Brad Friedman, fighting for election integrity in this country. Thanks, too, to Katrina Rill, our amazing producer.
Happy trails to you.
If you dare, visit the website at peterbcollins.com, and that's where you can send me an email. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you soon.
Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
If you have past due problem debt, we can help. Whether you have personal debt problems or business debt, we can save you anywhere from 40 to 80% off that debt. My name is Rhonda, and I am with BHR & Associates, and we are professional debt negotiators. We charge nothing upfront, and if we can't help you, there is no fee. You will have the option to accept or not accept any settlement we reach on your behalf. Remember, no results, no fee. We will be happy to discuss this with you further. There's no obligation whatsoever. Please get in touch with us now for more details and information. Call now. As for Rhonda, I will be happy to review your situation.
Don't let mounting debt and collection calls ruin your life. Call now, 888-581-5888. Let the pros negotiate with your creditors with no upfront cost or obligation. Call now, 888-581-5888.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The little blonde girl sexually assaulted on video has been found.
She's very well and alive and doing very good. And the more important part is that Mr. Stiles is still on the run and needs to be apprehended immediately.
Lake County, Nevada Detective David Berukowitz says Chester Arthur Stiles, 37 years old, has been identified as a person of interest. He resembles the man on the tape.
At this point, Mr. Stiles is our suspect, and he is a fugitive and on the run.
He was already wanted in Las Vegas for lewd conduct with a minor. Lake County Sheriff Tony DeMeo says they agonized about releasing a still picture of the girl, but decided it might bring in leads to this awful crime.
Nothing that I've seen in my career has come in anywhere close to what this girl has gone through.
In Navarro Mills, Texas, authorities have charged a 19-year-old man with sexual assault and capital murder in the death of a 6-year-old girl. The child was found hanged in her family's garage. Oversight? Overlooked is more like it. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes has details of a new report from the Health Department's Inspector General.
Clinical trials for drugs and medical devices only get inspected by the FDA about 1% of the time, according to a federal investigation. What's more, it found even when FDA inspectors did find serious violations, their superiors downgraded the infractions 68% of the time.
The report says the FDA doesn't even track how many clinical trials are running. The agency promises to do better. President Bush acknowledged that climate change is real and human activity is a factor, but at an international conference in Washington today, he rejected mandatory cuts in carbon emissions. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
Though he's been widely criticized for rejecting the Kyoto Treaty, President Bush tried to seize the initiative, calling on the world's biggest polluters to agree on a new voluntary goal for reducing emissions of greenhouse gases without hurting their nation's economies.
We know this can be done. Last year, America grew our economy
while also reducing greenhouse gases.
Under the Bush approach, each nation could decide for itself how best to achieve that goal. He believes advances in technology for clean energy provide the best answers. Mark Noller, CBS News, The White House.